way the colonial settlers made their butter. Would anyone like to take a turn?
This is PFW in progress.
Yeah, over here. Let him do it. He's had a lot of practice.
PFW in progress.
Yeah, familiar with the motion.
Yeah, he churns it about four times a day.
With Fred Kirsch.
What's your name, Patriot?
My name's
Paul Perillo.
I'm on my senior class trip. I'm here from Lexington, Mass., home state of Paul Revere, John Hancock, and Noma! Noma!
Okay, you want a turn?
And Andy. And Andy?
Ooh, wow, you got strong arms. He would have definitely survived the hardships of a colonial lifestyle.
Andy Hart.
Hey, Math in Washington. I can't understand a freaking word you're saying. That accent makes you sound retarded.
The Sheriff, Tom Casale.
Why are y'all taping this?
Yeah, I do all my projects on video because I suffer from several as yet unnamed learning disabilities.
He did not get proper nutrition during his toddler years.
Swear to God.
Yeah, his mother's breast milk's like Bailey's Irish cream.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
Hey, where'd you get that dress? Ye old house of juggery?
PFW in progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Yeah, the job market is really ridiculous right now.
Yeah, I got fired from Tom McCann for using the foot measure inappropriately.
Apparently my wiener is a lady size 5.
PFW in progress, Gillette Stadium, Thursday afternoon. No Red Sox talk today. Still talking Patriots, as always, here at Patriots.com. Fred Kirsch is in the building, but he's eating. Paul Perillo's in the building, but he's trying to log on to the email. I'm Andy Hart. Tom Casale and Eric Scalavino will join us for the second hour when we do our Thursday tradition of going around the league and making our picks. But this first hour, we're talking Patriots. We're talking Redskins. Richard Seymour back on the practice field again today. Obviously, he has started his PUP window in which the team must decide within 21 days as to whether to activate him to the roster. Based on some of the talk out of Washington, they're going to prep at least a little bit for the possibility that Richard Seymour could be across the ball. You know, Pete Kendall talking about it and Joe Gibbs talking about it a little bit. I'm not sure if we'll see Seymour, but the window has begun and we will see him soon, I expect. As I've said earlier on this show, I thought it would be a week earlier last week that we'd see him practicing, so I was a little surprised it took an extra week. But quiet locker room, not a lot going on.
Very quiet locker room.
Bill Belichick, I'd say a little bit crankier than he's been in recent weeks.
Do you think so?
Yes, which I find funny. He's had an edge. He's had his edge back. Previously, I thought he was almost giddy at the podium and laughing and yucking it up as much as, you know, he yucks it up to any degree. But maybe he's a little concerned, as he's talked about the tackling and about the defense and some of the issues maybe that are surrounding his still undefeated, still very dominant team. But we all know he likes to look way down the road at any issues that could cost them down the line, and maybe he sees a few of those.
I get the impression, and not necessarily from anybody specifically saying it, but I get the impression that Bill worked them pretty hard yesterday. We know they were in full pads. Eric came in and told us that during the show yesterday afternoon. I think that they may have been going at it a little bit harder than they normally would on a midweek practice, especially at this stage of the season. And I think the tackling issue is probably at the top of the list. Some of the players talked about that after the Miami game. It was an obvious situation in terms of an obvious message that Belichick had for the players after the Miami game, because to a man, the defensive players talked about the tackling needing to improve. So clearly that was something that Belichick focused on, and I think that maybe we saw a little bit of that yesterday at practice. A little surprised, Andy, that Richard Seymour wasn't available today in the locker room. Generally, he's a guy that makes himself available, mm-hmm. and particularly when he knows he's a story at the time.
Right.
Not like him not to be around. I guess he was in the lunchroom and never made it in.
Yeah, it's a little strange. I mean, I don't necessarily read anything.
Oh, I don't read anything at all into it.
Just mildly surprising.
It was surprising. I thought that would be one of those things that you could sort of count on.
Maybe Bill doesn't want him talking until he's back, doesn't want him to be any sort of distraction.
Very possible.
You know, until you're ready to play, I don't want to hear your voice. I don't want to see you in the newspapers or on TV. When you're ready to play, you'll be a part of this team again. Until then.
Now, we like to read between the lines of Bill's answers.
We do.
Okay? Fred taught us that we need to try to do that.
And Fred teaches us a lot.
Right. We learned a lot from Fred.
Great boss.
None of us could do a whole lot. Matter of fact, probably the fact that none of us would have jobs that exist without him.
We need Fred. We love Fred.
But that said, we try to interpret as much information from the press conferences and the answers that we can. Andy, were you able to interpret anything from Bill's response about Seymour in particular today, beyond the stuff that he says all the time about, you know, unrealistic to expect a guy who's missed 60 or 70 practices to be up to speed? You know, we always
Which
say these are always
really
case...
the question. It may have been poorly worded, but wasn't really what the guy wanted to ask.
Right. Is he 100% is what he
right.
was asking. Not is he 100% compared to everybody else.
No.
Is he 100%?
Right. And if Phil wants to get technical, then Seymour should be more 100% than the guys who have played 70 practices and 7 games and all that. The guy wanted to know, is Seymour, do you have to ease him into it because he's not fully healthy yet? Where is he at in his recovery process? But, no, I didn't really read much into it. I mean, I think Bill has this air of animosity towards guys who are hurt and don't play. I just think it's his natural as a coach. He's irritated by guys not being available. And Richard Seymour was not available for the first 6 weeks. He wasn't available for training camp. I don't think it's any more so with Seymour than any other player who would be in a similar situation. I think that's one of those cases where he truly focuses on the 53 guys he has to work with and is annoyed that Richard Seymour is not on that list of 53 guys.
Where do you think he starts?
Fred, if you're going to address me as part of the show,
you're gonna participate,
we need some interaction
in this,
here, some verbal, this is radio. Why are you doing the Dikembe Mutombo finger at me?
Hi, guys.
Hey, Fred's here.
No, I just heard your last comment.
And lo and behold, here comes Fred.
Be careful of what you think about that situation, because a little birdie's telling me that
and you Richard, have influential birdies.
That Richard Seymour was actually surprised when he was put on PUP this year.
Oh, I'm told that. I'm told that by a lot of people. That he was upset about it,
but
not only surprised.
I wasn't
not
necessarily referring
it.
To just Richard Seymour. I think when a guy is not on the 53, he gets the same sort of
tone. Well,
I
think so, but don't think that this was, you know, because someone could infer from what you're saying that, you know, this is Richard Seymour kind of taking it easy and being cautious with himself, when in fact, I think this was the team being cautious with Richard Seymour.
Okay, because I definitely didn't mean to infer that.
But, this wasn't Seymour's this was the
No,
team
I don't think it
decision.
Was either.
Are we also sure that
he didn't think
so he was healthy?
I'm not saying, but he was ready to go at less than being healthy. And he was surprised when he was put on PUP.
Yeah,
we all need to be careful with this topic we're discussing.
Well, I think he was surprised. I've had people tell me that. And
well, we've heard a lot of things.
What do you think that what do you think that he'll start? I mean, I would imagine, like anybody else coming back, he's not going to just be handed a spot right away.
No.
He's going to work on scout team and stuff like that. How long
and
do you think
that? And won't start. We've seen that. We now know that's the way that works.
By the way,
start.
This is another indication of Belichick really knowing this team. Because if, in fact, that's true, Belichick knew he was going to be able to do without Seymour. Let's err on the side of caution and in the midseason have him come fresh and ready to go. Another brilliant move by Bill Belichick.
Wow. I got.
Knew
slam.
He was putting up 40 points a game.
I had a long list of them.
I got to slam the brakes on there. You think that he thought he could have played, but said we don't need him, so we'll have him fresher.
Gets back to and you thought it was funny that I thought he'd hold out Lawrence Maroney for one game against the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
He's holding Richard Seymour out for 7 or 8 games against everybody.
Not necessarily we don't need him, but I'd rather, you know, I've got a choice to make here. I can have him come in 80%, you know, make him work into, you know, maybe he gets better as he plays, or I can hold this guy out, make sure that he's 100%, and I think we can deal with it not having him out there. I think that's more of what I'm talking about. He had a choice to make, and he was confident to err on the side of caution. Whereas I think a lot of teams, if you have your Pro Bowl, you know, right tackle, and he says, you know, I'm ready, and the doctor says, yeah, he can play, you're going to have him play.
I think this team would.
I do, too.
They didn't.
I disagree with you. How's that? I mean, I don't think
well,
that.
Fred's
I don't
right,
because
he's talking in definitives, and when he knows.
I don't think that he felt like he could play. And
who did?
Bill.
Right, but Seymour did. He was cleared by the doctors.
But I don't think that Bill felt like he was physically ready to play.
Okay.
That's technically the rule as well. Physically unable to perform.
Right. That's all.
Before you guys get into a little argument here.
Yes, we need to give our thanks.
Well, or apologies. This says Gillette Stadium Michelle Murphy was the contact. Is it possible we're eating the PR department's food right now?
No, this
since she doesn't work here anymore.
No, Jeff is the one who told me that it was here.
So this, they didn't order food.
No, this is too much like our order.
It is very much like I was just not really worried, but I was just
Michelle
wondering.
Doesn't work here anymore.
Yeah, I know. But so I'm guessing they knew the name.
No, because Michelle usually is the one that orders from Papa Gino's, but I saw an email.
Okay, so we're good. So we need to thank who? All right, we'll get to whoever we need to thank in a little bit. But, okay, back to Richard Seymour. So when does Richard Seymour play? Fred, since you're the answer man on this show.
Indy.
Okay, Richard Seymour will return against Indy, and the Patriots-Steelers game has been moved to 4:15, according to Fred. And Fred's when he talks this definitively, Fred usually knows what he's talking about. You like that idea?
Just a guess on the Seymour.
You like that idea?
What idea?
I mean, potentially your biggest game of the season. What role does he play? Would it be better to get him out there this week to get a week of snaps under his belt?
Tony Donato.
Tony Donato. Is that Teddy Donato's brother? Apparently not, says Fred. I mean, Paul. Thank you, Tony Donato. Above and beyond. A tremendous order. We're enjoying it. This is such a big order. We might be able to get Friday's lunch out of this order as well with the super-size, extra-large pizzas that Papa Gino's is selling these days. Above and beyond.
Well,
we love it.
Thank you very much, Tony.
If Seymour comes out today and Eric, will Eric stop by before? If Seymour comes out today in full pads, I say there's a chance that he does a few snaps.
Oh, by the way, he was in full pads yesterday.
Oh, he was?
He had his sweatpants on, but it was like the Ty Law thing. He was just like everybody. He was full. I saw the highlights that they
all
had.
Right, so now I'm
he
go.
Didn't have pants on.
Okay.
But that was his choice.
Now I'm saying he might do a full.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it was his choice.
I'm changing my prediction. I'm predicting he might have a few snaps this week.
I'd like that idea.
From what I saw yesterday on the highlights, he was going. I mean, he was participating.
Okay.
With everybody else, I'm told that he was doing some scout team work.
I'm predicting he will be active on Sunday, and he won't play a lot, but he'll play a little bit on Sunday. So that's my prediction.
Tom Casale just joined us.
Tom, that has bacon in it, by the way.
Yeah, you saw that.
Oh, he wants that. I didn't know he wanted bacon.
It's tremendous because I'm having the same thing.
Yeah, you helped yourself to the other one.
Who was it
Maybe
for?
Maybe two were for Tom. You don't know that.
He doesn't need two subs. Have you seen him lately?
But you needed wings, pizza, and a sub.
Well, we want to thank Tony Donato from Florida. Thank you very much, Tony.
Good job, Tony. Just next time, no mayo, oil, and vinegar.
Now, it was cut, though.
It was cut.
Now, remember, anyone who buys us lunch, if you come to Gillette Stadium, you will be given a tour. Anyone who buys us
lunch. What else you have for them, Fred? I'm sure you have some other.
I know why you're getting yelled at by Briggs.
If you want to give Gary your address, I'll send you a limited edition Patriots United. What's so funny about that?
It's a nice book.
You say remember like you've ever said that before. This is the first time you've ever
said
that.
No, I think I've said that anyone
I don't think you have.
Anyone that, if you're in Gillette Stadium, you call us up and Paul will give you a tour.
I almost broke this chair.
Give us a call on our request line.
Why you don't need the other sub.
Give us a call on our request line.
Right. You need to give the tour.
Yeah. I'll be happy to.
You know what Paul will say? This is the ugly hallway. This is the crappy this. Paul doesn't think.
Yeah, Fred can take you like where the pipes are and all the shortcuts.
Yeah, he has shortcuts.
Actually, the drawback of me giving the tour wouldn't be anything to do with what you just said, but I don't really know all the different intricacies of the building, even now.
How many years have you been here?
As long as it's been open.
I'm pretty sure company policy is only go where you're supposed to go to do your job and stay out of everywhere else.
Which is why your ID doesn't give you access to certain areas of the building that your ID, I'm sure, does give you access to.
I can take them, Fred. We might end up in a fire escape.
You got lost one day, right?
One day.
You ended up on the other side of the stadium?
Yeah.
Fred, you'll give anybody a tour?
Alarms going off.
Anybody that buys us lunch.
Giddy up.
No.
If he buys us lunch, Fred will give him a tour. Fred and Dave are tight.
All right.
The Dude Man.
All right, so what's going on?
I spent a good half hour with Logan Manna.
Logan Manna?
Mankins and John Hanna.
Logan Manna from heaven.
Oh, yeah, I see what you did there.
Right.
I still don't know what it means.
No one listening knows what it means either, so stop talking about
it. All right, listeners, do you know what manna from heaven is, just to prove these guys wrong? But
I didn't more say, important. What? So I didn't say you were wrong about that. I just said I had never heard it.
But you just said no one else knows what it is either.
Oh, okay, okay.
That's what I'm talking about.
No one else knows.
I'm not aligning myself with that line of thought.
Right now,
I know I'm an idiot.
Google.com.
Okay,
Googling
you
manna
spent
from
an
heaven.
Hour with Logan Mankins. Pray tell why.
Well, it was a half hour, and it was Logan Mankins and John Hanna. Got them together. They'd never met, never crossed paths at all, for a bi-week feature story, just sort of about sitting them down, talking football. They both, you know, told some stories and different things and their views on how the game has changed a little bit. And it was fun. It was interesting.
Now, I don't want to spoil the story, but give us a nugget. Give us a reason why we should read this story.
I'll give the nugget because I think I've told it on the show before. When Mankins was drafted, his dad threw a draft party a day or two later, and one of his friends came over and handed him a John Hanna football card and said, "You're going to play the exact same position as the greatest offensive lineman that ever played the game."
Wow.
Which is a little nugget. And then there's other.
Did you tell that story?
Mankins told the story to
John Hanna.
To John.
Mankins was very
sort of coy, shy. He was a little awkward and uncomfortable sitting next to, you know, basically the guy is a living legend as far as lineman goes.
Right.
But a lot of the talking had to do with, you know, Hanna, it's a different game today, and Hanna doesn't know how good he'd be.
I know what it is.
A lot of different perspective stories. Hanna telling about guys he watched and learned from. Mankins saying, "I tried that, but now I've learned that it's Dante's way is the only way, so that's what I do now." Hanna patted him on the shoulder and said something about...
Was it the first time they had met?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
And the first time you've listened, apparently, because I just
said
that.
Great, now I don't have to read the story. You just told me everything.
No, there's a lot of good stories, quotes.
So was Mankins, like, kind of in awe of being with Hanna?
Yeah, a little bit. And I asked him about that. I said, is it the same thing, you know, if a receiver, you know, if Randy Moss sits down with, you know, in 20 years with somebody.
This is John Hanna.
It's different because the general public doesn't necessarily, I don't think of John Hanna as a star.
Right.
You know, because those linemen.
Unless you're from New England. Right.
And Mankins said he didn't think of linemen until he started playing line in college. And so, you know, it was just, but a lot of talk about how they're both sort of farm boys and different things, backgrounds that are sort of similar.
That's great.
It'll be fun. We took photos of them sort of standing back to back, and
now,
but I don't know if those will come out.
Mankins is bigger than Hanna.
Oh, way bigger.
Yeah.
But Hanna said that Mankins and Pete Brock were of a similar build. Pete Brock was tall, not quite as heavy, but was bigger than him. He said, you know, people joke about John Hanna was dominant at 270. A lot of linemen he played with were bigger. His weight was 270. That's what he played at.
Right. He was massive, though.
But a lot of talk about them pulling and how DBs react when they're coming around the corner and see a Mankins or a Hanna, and they're afraid of them. They, you know, just dive at your knees and just getting them to talk football a little bit. And
that's good.
It was an interesting half hour.
That's the kind of stuff that you can get with Patriots Football Weekly
and PFW in Progress. You'll hear about it in advance.
Yep.
So anybody who sends lunch, we'll continue
to
tell you stories.
It's Patriots Football Weekly in progress.
Right. And not we'll Pro have Football that. Weekly.
Oh, now I get it.
You sure it's not Pro Football Weekly like the IT department thinks here
Patriots
when they reset
Pro
the
Weekly.
Server that says Pro Football Weekly? I didn't know we had a server in this building, but Pro Football Weekly, our IT
Paul
department.
Paul Borello of Patriots Weekly is here, and Paul Borello of Patriots Weekly is here. And
it's okay when somebody outside the organization does it. I'm fine with that.
Wow.
But inside the organization, learn the company.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't call them the New England Raves. Right. I know that the Revolution play here.
Right.
I mean, learn the company. You work for the company. IFP. I don't know what they do, but I know they exist, and I know they're not IQP.
Wow. A little rant by Andy Hart.
Happens every once in a while.
Wow. I was going to say, and this is the guy who always looks at me, why are you so mad?
In their defense, they're IT guys.
So?
They make us learn their policies.
Right. Well.
That might be
a fair argument for them because I delete those.
Which is another
when
one.
When they send the email that in 35 seconds the server will shut down, so make sure you save everything real quick. No, oh, you're in the bathroom? Too bad
one,
for you.
No, they keep adding restrictions for the passwords. Man, I got to tell you.
Oh, cripes.
Is that really getting annoying?
Ridiculous.
I'm to the point where I have to write them down. They tell you not to write them down.
I know, but it's for your own good.
At least you have an office. I have a cube, and mine is on a postie right by the side of my computer.
Now that everybody knows that. when they come in for the tours that Fred's going to give them. That's they'll just
true.
Be logging on
they
their
can
computer.
Log into my computer.
That's okay. His cube will be getting smaller pretty
and
soon.
And my cube's getting smaller
yeah, is that
by the
true
week.
Too? The cubes are going to be getting smaller?
I heard a rumor that they're reconfiguring.
Well, I saw the guy measuring yesterday, so I don't think it's a rumor.
They're reconfiguring in order to make better use of the space.
So we're going to be like going from Gillette Stadium with nice spacious seats and aisles to Fenway Park. They're squishing everything down.
Well, I'm sure that the listeners are fascinated with this talk.
Well,
Web radio.
Fred thinks they love everything.
Web radio.
Fred, they're
at
practicing
Patriots.com.
On the upper field today. Are you okay with that?
Upper
field.
I think people are. They're outdoors. Yesterday they were indoors. Today they're outdoors. And I think people want to know that our cubes are getting smaller.
I think they could practice in this room and beat the Redskins.
I'm the only one that found that really funny, evidently, but I did. G's with me.
Gary.
I like that one, Fred. I like that one a lot. Anyway, webradio at patriots.com. If you have any thoughts at all about the Redskins, evidently we don't.
Or
but,
Colts. We'll take those,
you know,
too.
Yeah, we're looking ahead to the Colts. We're making no bones about
well,
that fact.
I think that Bill Belichick has done a very good job of raising
you
the red...
just all over him this
raising
week.
The red flag of the Redskins defense. Because everyone I talk to, like outside of the building... Yeah, those Redskins, they got a pretty good defense.
That's because it's a fact.
No, I know, but it's, you know.
I didn't need Bill Belichick to tell me.
You know.
You look at the league stats.
But the Patriots are still 16.5-point favorites.
Well, that's because they're that
much
better.
As they should be.
Right.
Because the Redskins' offense stinks.
That's my
17,
so
going up like Joe Gibbs said.
So should we be concerned with anything about the Redskins, you know, knowing that?
But the Redskins' offense. See, now, are you concerned when you say concerned? Concerned about winning?
Winning,
no,
yeah.
I don't think
that's
you should be concerned
about
winning.
Yeah.
But I think that the Redskins do have a pretty good defense.
They
it's
do.
Not like the Buffalo Bills that you try to claim had a good defense. This is a team that I think has a decent defense, but it will be on the field so much, and the offense will not be able to do anything to score any points because I just don't think they have the ability to do so.
Plus, after the tongue-lashing they got last week, the Patriots, that defense is going to
They won't miss a tackle all week.
I think Paul's on the right track. I mean, not only will they be on the field all day, but they'll probably be put in bad situations because of turnovers.
Right.
And, you know, a good defense is fine, but, you know, you get an offense like the Patriots that has ball 35 minutes, all of a sudden you're not as good, and I think that's a good point.
Although, against the Dolphins actually had the ball longer than the Patriots because they were scoring so quickly. You know, so.
And the Dolphins were running the ball down 25, 28 points because.
Just running the offense.
That's their game plan. Yeah. They just ran the offense.
They just ran their offense. And they did a better job of it than we did. If you're going to do the whole.
Outscored in the second half.
If you're going to do the whole quote. I can't wait for that December game because that. You
I
know,
can't freaking wait.
You know that that's going to be the mantra of that Wednesday press conference. I mean, we were just holding on there in the fourth quarter.
Despite the fact that Dolphins are dropping like flies. Now, Zach Thomas has been in a car accident. He's not going to play this week.
Yeah.
Whiplash. Who knows how long that takes?
Yeah.
I'm
telling you,
they're
that,
packing the suitcases.
That Zach Thomas whiplash is akin to Rodney Dangerfield's broken arm in Caddyshack. Yeah. Oh, my neck.
Oh, my arm.
I thought you were going to go Eugene Wilson in the Super Bowl.
No, that's Fred. That's Fred's thing.
By the way, Eugene Wilson hurt.
That ankle, by the way.
Ankle,
we did,
not on the field.
We did talk about that yesterday, that he was not at practice. Eric told us that. Later in the day, injury report, he was listed as having missed practice.
So that part, what
limited
told
participation
us
in practice.
True?
With an ankle injury. No, what Eric said about Seymour, I wanted to clarify that. It was true. He had, you know,
he just doesn't have the experience.
He had the gray sweats on, but when I watched the highlights that they showed on TV on the local news last night, he was going through all the drills. It wasn't like he was limited in his
many
participation.
Defensive players in the past have worn
Ty Law okay. always did that.
But here's the
always
thing,
did that.
But here's the thing that we don't know because cameras weren't allowed. If there were any hitting drills, did he participate in
I'm
that?
Told he did.
But don't you have to, by rule, have the thigh pads on?
First of all, it's practice, so there's no rules. Second of all, a lot of players don't play with thigh pads.
And you don't have to wear thigh pads in a game.
No, you don't, but generally linemen do. Receivers don't.
Helmet and shoulder pads are the only things that you're required to use.
Is there a Richard Seymour photo in here? How do I know he wears?
I mean, normally, you know, receivers will not wear them, sometimes cornerbacks, but usually linemen wear them.
There's a big photo of Tom Brady behind you.
I know
Teddy Bruschi does.
Yeah, Vrabel does.
Well, linebackers, I definitely would. He doesn't?
Yeah, he
he's
doesn't.
Out of his gourd with guys diving at his knees. And
yeah, I think he said he's done it both ways in the past. He's worn them and he hasn't worn them. But we were talking about this. He said the only thing you're required to wear is helmet and shoulder pads.
Not the butt pad like in high school?
No, you don't have to do that. Well, that's what I was laughing. I go, you don't need to wear the girdle pads like I used to wear in high school? He started laughing
ridiculous.
At me. Probably laughing at me for something else because he's always making fun of me. But I don't think he was limited, Fred, yesterday in practice. Seymour. I think that
okay,
he did.
Okay, good.
Now I think that he I chose have, to use
now
chose
that I
to
have a more
sweat.
Accurate report from yesterday, I do think he'll play a few snaps.
More accurate than the guy you hired to do the web report?
Well, I didn't want to make it sound like, because he wasn't wrong. That's what he wore. I just don't think that he was limited.
He just didn't have perspective from the past.
I
There's
just
guys
want to read,
that are in regular sweatpants that are fully suited.
I just want to read Tony's email, because Tony, Tom, is responsible for this wonderful feast that we're
Thank
all
you,
enjoying.
Tony.
Good afternoon, gentlemen, and you too, Andy.
Hey.
I thought it was about time to treat you guys to lunch once again. Please be on the lookout for it. I told them to deliver it to the security gate, but I am not optimistic, as they had a new person answering the phone, and he was confused, especially when he wanted me to sign the credit card receipt, which, unfortunately, my arms are not long enough since I am in St. Cloud, Florida. Enjoy. You guys crack me up every chance I get to listen to your podcast. I cannot imagine me ragging on my boss the way you guys do to Fred Kirsch.
No, Fred's a great boss.
Fred's a
Best
wonderful boss.
There is.
And we're right, lucky to have him.
All right, what's going on?
Well, actually,
the second time you said, what do you want?
Fred, there's nothing.
I don't want anything.
All
I got what I wanted, a seat next to me on the plane while working. It
all
was
we
the
want,
greatest flight
that's
back
what
of
it
my
is.
Life.
That's what it is, Fred. You made that happen.
You got it
we're
done.
Extremely
well,
grateful.
I've never been so excited.
That's first and foremost. I think you're a guy who gets things done.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we need around here.
There's no way that I get that done.
I got a feeling like there's some major win.
You know how, Fred?
Nope.
Paul, you got into a fight with a guy who told you he'd take 9 Jason Veritex?
Yeah.
I'll take 100 Fred Kirsch's
right,
in my corporation.
Now I know that
we were just in the
on.
Locker room talking to Mark Capella.
What did you guys do wrong?
Saying what a great boss you are.
And you weren't even there.
Yeah, you weren't even there. You let your employees work. You bring the hammer down if you need to, and you get things done. That's a good boss.
You're a
it's almost
great
like
boss.
You're a made man, Fred.
Right. Well, that's the last thing
you
said.
Just so you know, Fred said, I'm a made man.
That's the last thing he said. And then, you know, we're just, you know,
well,
all
what,
we're
what
looking
Capella
for.
What did Capella say?
No, we were telling Mark
what a great boss,
what a good boss you were.
He was disagreeing with us, but.
I was saying how I'm not boss material because I don't like just telling people everything what they
I
have
don't
to
either.
Do and stuff.
I don't either.
And we were saying
and you're
how
fortunate
Fred,
we get the job done. You don't have to
I said Fred's
us.
Good because he lets us do our job, but he's there to put the hammer down when it needs to be put down, whereas I don't think I would be good at that.
Unless he's at a concert.
Yeah, basically, we were talking about your impending retirement.
A concert.
Your impending retirement, which seems to be coming
we're concerned,
in the next few
Fred.
Months.
We're concerned about the midlife crisis
you
that you seem
concerned.
To be going through.
I'm concerned.
I had a discussion with my wife last night about it. What would we do?
Beth got home from work.
I don't know if I'm long for this world. Forget
hey,
about this,
hey,
this
hey.
Place.
Beth got home from work, and I let her get settled in for about 15 minutes, and I said, I think we really have a concern here about this Fred situation. We've talked about it in the past, but now it's reached the point of concern.
There's dining rooms all over New England right now concerned about, at dinner, talking
yes,
about my
I was
impending
in the
doom.
Because at the age of 39, I'm not ready to retire, Fred.
You're only 39?
That was intentional.
In stereo.
By the way. That was. I intentionally said my age.
Tom,
so
where
you
were
guys,
you on that one?
So you guys could do it.
I'm under the weather.
Still?
How long are you going with that?
Yeah, my mom's mad at you.
I'm sick as a dog.
Why'd you come
my
in?
My mom told me to get a flu shot. I said, I'm not getting one. Tom got one 2 days ago and says he's sick. Oh, that can't happen. That's a bunch of bunk, she
that's
said.
That's a wives' tale.
It was like and then, 2 hours said, later,
a
I started getting a sore throat.
But... You know, you won't get sick later on, though. This will be good. It'll work.
So that's great. You get it out of the way early. I mean, I don't want to get sick.
No, I've heard some people getting mildly sick after getting
it. So let me get this straight, Fred. If I don't get a flu shot, I get sick once during the winter.
No,
time.
You get really
maybe.
Sick.
Maybe. And then if I do get it, I get sick right away.
No,
and then maybe
right.
one more time.
You'll
right.
be all right.
Sounds
just
good.
Stop whining, for Christ's sake.
So I just said I was under the weather. That's
let me
it.
Just finish Tony's email here.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Tony.
He needs some advice. This summer, I was fortunate to purchase by auction a football from the 1960 Patriots team and autographed by the original members. Jack Rudolph, a linebacker, had his memorabilia up for auction. That, by the way, was the year at age 14 that I went to my first of very many Patriots games. I would like to loan it to the new museum and need to know whom to contact.
Fred.
I believe that it is better to have many people view this priceless artifact than it is to stay in my Patriots room at home.
That's
please
nice.
Advise.
Well, that's great. The person you want to contact, his name is Brent Hensel, and his email is brenth@patriots.com. It's Brent.
I would have gone with the main phone number there. But.
At patriots.com. No, we want... I actually saw that Jack Rudolph...
who's Jack Rudolph? No
collection. We had a book of all sports memorabilia. His stuff was in there.
Who's Jack
Rudolph? We were actually thinking
about linebacker?
Jack Rudolph.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
Oh, he did? I didn't listen, you dumb dago.
Yeah, so contact Brent, Tony. and he'll take care of you, and you know, we'll take care of you because you take care of us. All right.
All right, so, G, let's step aside. We'll get Fred back in the hot seat here and start the show for real when we get back.
Playoff action is back in Foxborough. Once again, your New England Revolution have advanced to the MLS playoffs and are looking for a return trip to MLS Cup.
Drive to Forum, and the goal! 1-0 Revs! What a huge tally for New England!
Saturday, November 3rd at 7:30 p.m., Taylor Twellman, Pat Noonan, Matt Reese, and the rest of the Revs take to the field in Foxborough, and they want you there to cheer them on to victory.
Takes a touch, and buries it! 1-0 Revs! The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet!
Individual tickets start at just $18, and significant discounts are available for groups of 20 or more. Bring your family or group, and don't miss a minute of this exciting playoff match at Gillette Stadium. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS. That's 1-877-GET-REVS to get your playoff ticks.
Get your kicks.
And get the Revolution.
Revolution.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Miles and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Food Master, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it. Well, hunger stands no chance against the new Bacon Lover Supreme Omelette Breakfast Sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. Supreme Omelette Egg with crisp, thicker-cut pepper bacon and Colby Jack cheese. Hurry in today for a whole lot of sizzle, because this irresistible combination of flavor won't be around forever. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. For a chance to win big, visit DunkinDonuts.com today to win great football prizes. Prizes include 42-inch plasma TVs, signed official game balls and JetBlue flights. And don't forget to try a Bacon Lover Supreme Omelette Breakfast Sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. Price and participation may vary. No purchase necessary to enter to win. Offer valid 8:20 to 9:30. Must be 18 years or older to participate. Must be a U.S. citizen. Limited time offer. Visit DunkinDonuts.com for official rules and adjust rules.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. Jimmy says, who are you? He says, okay, ball washers, who are you and what have you done with Andy and Paul? What's with all the Fred is so great, Fred is so important crap? Bring back the arguments. Paul, don't be shy to let it go at Fred. He knows, as we all do, that his show would bomb without you. Only kidding, Fred. Anyway, I just wondered if you could give me the percentage of Maroney and Watson playing full games this weekend as they're on my fantasy team.
It's a floating
game. And I don't seem to get any news on the issue.
Maroney and who?
Watson.
Watson's not playing.
I don't think Watson's playing. I think Maroney is, yeah, playing.
Maroney's playing.
But how many yards he'll have might be a different story. It's a pretty good athletic defense.
Well,
if he starts dancing against this defense, he'll get laid out for losses.
But he was asking how much Maroney would play. In other words, he only got 6 carries last week.
He'll get more than 6 carries, yeah. But I'm not sure it'll be productive because, as I said, if he dances against this defense, he's going to get his clock clean.
I think we all
Maroney will have over 100 yards in this game.
I think we all felt that he would.
Mark it down.
Hasn't done that in a year.
Mark it down.
Well, he had 100
one
this year. But I think we all felt that he only was limited last week because of the score. Can we all agree on that?
Well, a combination of the score and I don't think they were going to go overboard with him either.
But it's just one of those, why would you?
It wasn't garbage time where you say give Maroney 40 carries and just run the clock
right.
out.
Right. Don't you think if it was a close game that he's going to get 15 to 20 carries in that game? Or do you think that regardless he would
have
get
definitely double-digit carries he would have gotten in that
yeah,
game.
Yeah, that's the way I feel.
No, but I don't think, you can't run the score up
I don't think they would have given
the ball
him,
off to your
right.
tailback.
Well, don't get Fred started.
Yeah. I want people want us to get back on
Patriots
track.
Patriots really ran that score up. They scored 7 points in the second half.
They ran it up in the first.
Well, I mean, you know,
they can't put the starting quarterback back in.
Can't run it up in the first half, according to Andy Hart on
Naked
Sports.
You can't run it up in the first half.
Of course you can't.
I don't really want to get into this, but let's get the fighting back and get it.
Wes Welker, go.
Well, that one's done.
Can you give me
just call that fight?
Just give me an example.
Call that fight,
Fred. What do you think of London Fletcher as a player?
I think he's a good veteran. Excellent.
Good little player.
He's pretty big. He's a linebacker.
He's not pretty.
He's not big.
Because I think Wes Welker and London Fletcher are the same guy. They're productive.
And I don't
they
even
put up
think...
numbers. London Fletcher goes from defense to defense. He'll have 100 tackles. But if he's the only guy on the defense, he's not the playmaker. He doesn't make you a good defense.
Yeah. See, I mean, I think you're arguing semantics here. Is either one of them ever going to get in the Hall of Fame? No.
God,
Hall
no.
of Fame.
I mean, you know, but
thanks.
If that's what you imply every time somebody says, oh, Wes Welker's really good, you think, well, you know, you
no,
think
I'm
that they're calling him a Hall of Fame
Moss
player.
No,
they're
no,
not calling him that.
I'm not saying that anybody says he's a Hall of Fame player.
You act like that's what they're doing when they praise him.
You act like he's
probably
a Pro Bowl player. Like he's like an all-pro player.
He might make the Pro Bowl this year.
But that doesn't mean that he's a Pro Bowl player. He might make it. I know a lot of Pro Bowl players that have made it.
Did
Brandon Stokely go?
Yeah, they had the 3,000-yard receivers.
No.
He should never go. Because if Brandon Stokely didn't go for being the third guy on that.
But the question I wanted to ask you, Fred.
It's glue, Fred. Focus on Paul. Just because there's an info frickin' commercial in the background, focus on Paul.
We don't want to get into that same old tired argument that we always do. And we agree to disagree and we can get on. I want to ask you a serious question.
Okay.
Can you wait till the glue commercial's over because he's focused on that?
Can you just give me an example or what you would consider, even if it's not an
I can listen to him without having to look at him.
Even if it's not
I'm listening
an example
to what he's saying. Go ahead.
Of someone
well, don't
running,
let them get.
What would you consider running up the score? Like, what tactic would you say would be someone running up the score?
Scoring more than 7 points in the second half.
So they ran up the score in Dallas then?
No, because Dallas, that was still within reach. Dallas was calling time. Dallas was calling timeouts.
Not because it was in reach.
So then, why was Dallas calling timeouts?
Because they were playing hard to the end of the game. That's all.
So the Patriots can't do that.
I disagree with them calling timeouts.
Patriots aren't allowed to play hard to the end of the game.
Is that chewing gum?
I'm asking you, what is an example of?
I think like when in college, you know, when it's like 70-3 and they're still scoring in the fourth quarter.
What if you only scored 7 points in the fourth quarter? That's not running it up.
But that's not what I'm talking about.
But you just contradicted yourself.
I said in college when they're still scoring points and it's
why are they but why are they scoring the points?
Well, exactly.
How are they doing it? To me, if you continue to run the ball into the line,
right,
and you happen to score, there's nothing you can do about that.
But those people accuse them of running up the score pole. They're
wrong.
But
I'm talking about
last point.
I'm not. First of all, I'm not even arguing about anything specific. But I don't understand how you don't see people that think that they ran up the score against Miami just because they only scored 7 points. They were up by 21 points with 8 minutes left in the game. They went spread formation, sprinkler offense, and ran the, and threw the ball right down the field for another touchdown. Don't you think it would have been wiser if you really were concerned about the score of the game to just run the ball into the middle of the line and run the clock as much
Paul,
as you could?
The Patriots wanted to keep the ball in their hands and run out
no,
the clock.
No, they didn't. They wanted to score, and they did it as quickly as they could.
They do that. Then why'd they put Matt Cassel in?
Because they thought the game was over. And they wanted to keep throwing the ball to keep scoring.
Why did they put Matt Cassel in?
To get the backup quarterback some time.
Why? What?
In case something happens to Brady down the road.
Okay, but they put Cassel in because they thought the game was over, right? Cassel goes in, proceeds to throw an interception. Now, as Belichick said, you get another one. Now you're down to two.
So you thought the game was over.
Can a game be over seven, and then not over?
7 points.
Paul,
seven
are you
points
accusing
difference?
Them of running up the score?
I think they ran up the score the last 2 weeks.
You're full of it.
But I don't care about that.
It's unbelievable. He's gonna swear. That is just unbelievable.
I don't believe
get
that you,
button, Gary.
Fred, what I don't understand is why it bothers you.
Because you know,
like, I don't
the
care.
Patriots can't just win a game. They have to be doing something wrong.
Why
here
is
we
that?
Go again.
But see, here's my thing. Why is it wrong? I don't care. You're trying to make it sound like that. I'm saying they ran up the score and there's something wrong with that. Who
well,
cares? I don't care.
Apparently, in the etiquette of pro and in sports, running up the score is not classy. Well, it's not sportsmanlike. That is
well,
the common perception. Yes
I don't
or
think
no?
the Patriots are sportsmanlike. I think I'm on record with
right,
that.
And when somebody accuses the Patriots of running up the score, they're saying they're an unsportsmanlike team, and that's why they're saying it. They're not saying it to compliment them.
No, but I don't understand why it makes you mad. It's
because
a point
they,
of fact.
Because
Fred,
they weren't.
Tom brings up a good point. They yesterday, you were all for
rape the women. I thought right. you wanted to be the bad guy.
Now you're not even running up the score.
He can't even keep track of his own idiots.
But I'll take credit where credit is due, but they're not running up the score.
Because that's all I asked you was, give me an example of someone running up the score then.
Well, I don't.
Like, do you think that Manning was running up the score on Thanksgiving a couple years ago?
No, absolutely
throwing
not.
Throwing six touchdowns and winning the game 40, whatever it is.
Absolutely not.
Of
that's
course
what
they
do.
Of course they were running up the score. It's a fact of life.
So what are you
going to do?
What do you do as a coach, Paul? You just
you
shut
run
your team
the ball
down?
Into the middle of the line, run the clock, get out of there. That's what you do if you're not trying to run up the score. I don't understand why it bothers you.
What if running to the middle of the line doesn't allow you to get a first down?
It allows you to run the clock. You're trying to get to the game.
I know, but you're turning the ball over to them because you're not getting
first
downs.
So are you trying to tell me that the object should be, you know,
to keep the ball in your hands.
All right. Let me say this. What was the score in the Dallas game at the end of the game? It was 17 points?
Right.
Right? Are you trying to tell me the better way to ensure victory in that game was to run a real play rather than kneel on the ball and have the clock run out inside of 10 seconds?
They call timeout. They stop the clock.
Right, but then when you snap the ball, Fred, the clock starts again.
They could have gotten the ball back, Paul, and you know it.
All right, so what are you trying to tell me is a bigger chance of losing?
Paul.
Running a play, fumbling, Paul. Having Dallas return it for a touchdown, or kneeling on
so
the ball?
So, on record, you're saying last against
the
Dallas, what the Patriots did. Wait, last against
asking
Dallas,
you shall receive.
I just want to get this on record. You're saying that what the Patriots did in Dallas was unsportsmanlike.
I think they ran up the score. I think they were upset. I don't have any. I don't. Let me just state this.
Upset at who? Dallas?
They were upset. I think Bill was upset at Wade Phillips' remark about the black eye on their success. And I don't blame Bill one iota. I want to state this very clearly. I don't have any problem with running up the score. I don't have any problem with what Bill does at the end of games. I think you do what you have to do and whatever you think is right. I don't have a problem with it in the world. So I don't want this to be twisted by you that I'm complaining about what Belichick does.
Oh, you would never do that.
No, I've been very critical in the past, and you know that. But this is not one of those examples.
Okay.
I want to say this very clearly.
I think that they run up the score. That's all.
I actually have a problem with it if he's doing it for personal reasons because he said the black mark comment because I think that goes against everything. You want me to buy, you do what's in the best interest of your football team to win football games. That's not in the best interest of your football teams to have some petty grudge that you score an extra touchdown.
I think Tom is the one that made the point.
Exactly. So why would he do that?
I don't know. I'm just saying if
so
that
you're
was
trying
you're making
that,
my point.
So you're trying to tell me with 19
out of it.
Fred, you think with 19 seconds left in the game that the Patriots didn't feel comfortable until they scored another touchdown to make it 24
points? They gave the ball to Kyle Eckel, and he ran in the middle of the line, Paul. The fact that they couldn't stop him, what are you going to do? What? It was Kyle Eckel running in the middle of the line.
I want you
That's
to
exactly
tell me.
Exactly what you just said they should do. They did it, and they scored a touchdown.
But I say they tried to score the touchdown.
What's he supposed to do? Fall down and have a seizure?
If what you're saying is true and they did it to the best interest of the team to win the game, they would have kneeled on the ball to run the clock out.
They gave you said you give the ball and you run it to the middle of the line. They did it with Kyle Echol.
But not with 19 seconds left in the game, Fred. Now the game is over unless you do something to help the other team, such as hand the ball off and lose it and let the other team run it back for a touchdown.
Well, you know,
I think Tom is the one that brought that point up at the time. That was the only way they could possibly lose that game was by fumbling on that play, having it returned for a touchdown, allowing an onside kick.
Right.
And all the other things that Bill ran down for Sal Palantonio last week.
So Bill wasn't doing what was in the best interest of his team.
I don't think so.
Okay, so he's a liar now.
But I have no problem with it because if you want to talk stupid stuff like Wade Phillips did, you deserve to have it rubbed in your face like that. I'm all for that. And I've always been all for it. Well, if you want to act like a jackass, you get treated like a jackass. And that's what Wade Phillips did that day.
Well,
how's that?
You know, unfortunately, the Patriots just can't be the best team in the league. They've got to be the best team in the league with all this other stuff.
I knew he would twist this around. I knew he was going to have a heart attack.
He's suddenly getting all red.
Andy and I, from week two, Andy and I have claimed they're going to go 16-0, and now you're telling me I don't think they're the best team in the league.
Well, you can go 16-0 and be really
and not be good, right?
Be terrible.
Yeah, you're right, Fred. That's
and
good
do all these bad things.
That's a good point, Fred.
And you know, just be terrible and you know, awful and evil and
well, you can be a terrible human being and go 16-0.
You're right.
What happened to the Fred that wanted to rape the women and pillage the village and kill pets?
Fred is like a flip-flop.
I'm embracing all that. If people want that, that's fine. But
see, I like that kind of attitude.
Yeah, I just want to point out where Paul's coming from, just so it's clear.
But you're not pointing it out accurately.
Okay.
I stated my intentions very clearly.
I just like to get the ball to Kyle Echol, and he ran in the middle of the line. What's he supposed to do? You're building redder and redder.
All depends. If you're trying to score
a
touchdown. If you're trying to score a touchdown, you
the
hand
poor
the ball
kid.
Off.
This is probably his only chance to score a touchdown in his life, you know. And now he's part of running up the
score,
part of this evil conspiracy.
I just want you
Darth
to give
Belichick.
Me. I just want you to give me an example.
Christ,
give me an example of a team. Give me an example of a team running up the score. That's all I would need you to do is just give me an example. Any example. Could be anybody.
Right. See, I'm under the.
Don't think you've ever think the score's been run up in your life based on the way you sound.
You're right. You're right. When I'm Nebraska and I've got my fourth string out there and I'm just running the ball and they can't stop
them,
too bad for Stanford or whoever they're playing.
He shows you how much he really watches these games because that doesn't happen. The fourth string doesn't come in and score.
Well, whatever.
Teams that run up the score, they keep their starters in and run up the numbers. They want Heisman numbers.
Oh,
they want their top backs to get extra yards. That's what they do.
You know, these guys
in college. You see it in college a lot more than the pros, I'll admit that.
Yeah, because they can't do it in the pros. It's
exactly.
hard to do.
Right, exactly.
You know? But I just, you know, it's sports. You go out,
play
the plays. Even these backups, they practice too for the chance to maybe get out there and do something. And then you're going to go out there and tell them not to do something? It just doesn't sit right with me.
Look, I agree with everything
you
just
said.
But the issue is you tell Matt Castle to go do something. He did it, and you put Tom Brady back in.
What, because he can't do it? Because he didn't do what you told him to do. Take care of the ball.
Well, he ran a play. I mean,
don't mess up. Just take care of the ball. Don't do anything stupid. And he couldn't even do that.
If you think he got yanked out of that game for fear of losing it, then you're more naive than I thought.
No, he got yanked out because he didn't do what he was supposed to do.
He was yanked out for punishment.
Absolutely. But and I'm not and Paul, you've made it clear that you're not saying that the Patriots were running up the score.
No, I do think they ran up the score. I just don't have a problem with it.
You're saying there's nothing wrong with it. Okay, I'm sorry, I misspoke. You're saying there's nothing wrong
with
the Patriots running up the score.
There's a surprise.
But I'm talking to all those losers and whiners and criers out there that are saying that what the Patriots are doing is wrong. Let me tell you something. You are losers. All of you that are out there saying the Patriots are, are running up the score, you're a bunch of losers.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that, Fred.
People
that cry over that, I think, are losers.
Let me ask you a question, all right?
Yes.
41-17 Colts, 25 seconds left. They throw a touchdown pass to Klecko. I'm not going to hear a word from you?
Hell no.
Oh, okay. You're such a liar.
Okay, I'm just asking.
You can't even be honest with yourself.
I'll be mad that Klecko caught it, but
all right, they'll throw a pass to Marvin Harrison. Is that going to make you happier?
I'm nothing but consistent on this. This is sports.
Okay.
You score as much as you can throughout the game. Who cares?
Why are you mad that Klecko caught it?
Because, you know.
Because that's rubbing it in.
He should be on the Patriots.
Dan Klecko.
They didn't want him.
He's a great player.
And you've replaced him in your heart with Wes Welker. You fraud.
Oh, yeah.
I'm worried about you, Fred.
You know. And that's another thing. Wes Welker's no good.
And another thing.
He's loose change. Wes Welker's loose change.
Brandon Stokely.
Read an email.
Oz Akeem.
Read an email. Jimmy got what he wanted. He got a 15-minute fight, so now we can go back to the emails. Jimmy has never...
We aim to please, Jimmy.
Never has an email or asked for something and gotten it so much, so immediately.
Alex says, why are you guys talking about running up the score? Who cares? It's football. They're paid to play. Why should we take it easy if the opposite team can't stop them? That's not our fault. Everybody last year was saying it was Peyton's year. Guess what? This year it's Tom Brady. He's going to shatter a lot of records because he's the best, and they're making it known.
Thought records didn't matter.
I think that's true, that email.
Steve says, shut
the
hell up.
When the Patriots couldn't break them.
Steve says, shut the hell up. You guys have sunk to a new low. Stop arguing and talk about football. My grandchildren act better than you fools.
We were talking
about Grandpa.
Apparently, when you talk about football, you can't argue.
Right. We were talking about football.
Take your hearing aid out.
Let's see. Get off it already. This is a professional sport where the players are being paid to play. If you are so concerned about running up the score, go watch Pee Wee Leagues.
Again, I agree.
I even didn't think if they can, they should do it there. Screw them. Screw those kids.
Rape them.
Fred's back. We got him back.
Speaking of that, did you watch South Park last night?
No.
Oh,
is it a good one?
Oh,
speaking of rape?
Remember I said last week stunk and it's part two? There's a three parts to it.
Oh, Jesus.
But this part was much better than part one.
So I have to watch part one.
There's some things
that
are so disgusting, like I just couldn't stop laughing.
All right. I've calmed down now.
Okay, you all right now?
My blood pressure's down to normal now.
Good, Fred.
We don't want down to back down to 240 or 130. You all right?
All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com. The phone number is 508-543-7482. And, again, we want to thank Tony Donato for a big lunch from
down
Papa
in Florida.
James today.
Big water.
Huge,
big water.
Huge,
coming up
huge.
Big.
We'd also like to thank Chris Ferreira for all the great things he does upstairs.
What's going on?
I have no thanks.
There's too many compliments being thrown out today. You guys are up to something.
I'm not up to anything. I told Chris. Chris said, "I'll come. You never compliment me." And I said, "I'll give you a compliment today on the show." He was upset that we always slam him for everything. So, Chris, you do about 100 things. The one thing you do well, I say thank you, and you do it well.
Which one is that?
I just figured it was one.
Chris is the best webmaster in the NFL.
The bedwetter?
I agree with
that.
He's the bedwetter of the NFL.
Oh, in the NFL, I can't comment on that, but he's the best one we've ever had.
Hello, this is Kermit the Frog broadcasting from the Super Bowl.
That's it.
I'm going to say,
as Bill would say, Paul, wouldn't take much.
I've been through three webmasters here in my time, and by far and away, Chris is the best.
Who was before the other one?
Rick.
Oh, Rick, yeah.
I'm going to say Chris is not the best in the NFL, but you're okay.
No, I know he is.
He's not like
he is.
Serviceable middle of the pack.
If four others can't go, he can go to the Pro Bowl.
That's right. Yeah. If they give out an award and the first three turn it down, Chris Ferrer will take it.
I just don't want people to find out about him because the other teams will go after him. You know?
I think you're all right.
He's not leaving Lowell. He loves Lowell.
I thought he lived in Fitchburg.
Yeah, Fitchburg. Lowell, Fitchburg, they're all the same.
Can you fit him under the cap?
So, all right. Let's see. Ben says, first off, let me add my voice to the growing number of complaints over the volume of the podcast. From whispers to blow your ears off, can't an organization as professional as the Patriots hire a new monkey and fix this problem? I would also be very interested in having the TV show added in podcast format.
I thought we were doing
that. We do that. Oh, our TV show.
You say the exact same thing every time we say
I thought we were doing that.
No, I got to get the tape. They didn't hand me a tape.
They were talking about The Office.
Lost.
Get the tape.
I was thinking Patriots today.
It's week 7, week 8. We need the tape.
Back to football. With Brady on record pace to shatter the single-season TD record, is there any reason to fear that Belichick might alter the play calling to slow him down a bit? Or do you think he would like to see Brady get it? Also, where is Eric the Leg massaging the grapes? I miss his witty comments. Not. His absence makes the show more informative. Anything he does say is just a reworded Tom comment. Wow.
That's I don't know if that's a slam at me.
That
or
one
not.
Hurts. He's going to cry himself to sleep.
Why would Belichick redo the play calling so he would
to
keep
slow
Brady down?
Paul believes Tom Brady's previous career high of 28 only came with about 10 goal line scores that should have been handoff to the fullback.
Now there's 20 of them.
John in L.A. Has a couple emails. He says, that Let's Go Pats commercial you guys run every break, it's so humiliatingly awful. I actually have to close my windows and or get up, cross the room, and turn down the volume
Jimmy,
on my
computer.
All
right, Jimmy, it's the big day.
Make those foam finger buyers losers stop. My laziness begs you.
So
we don't listen during the break, so I don't really know what we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah, I have no idea.
We eat and chat.
I was going to say, I just eat.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we got to go.
Oh,
Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people are upset about us. Pat from Minnesota. Well,
why do they ask us to argue if they don't want us to argue?
To be fair, one guy asked to argue.
Hey, we got to do what they say.
It wasn't the 100,000 listeners that asked.
And did those 100,000 listeners give us food?
More points on the board is a very effective method of killing the clock. Make the other team have to drive down and score again. The NFL, I think any scoring in the first half is hard to consider running up a score.
I would agree with
that. I'd rather win huge than have a collapse in the second half and be accused of being overconfident and losing. Fourth quarter, once the lead is over 28 points and stays there, I'd run it. It's just too quirky of a league to take chances with leads less than that, my opinion.
That happens like once a year.
Yeah, once it's over 28, then you can run it out.
Let's see. Larry knows what manna from heaven is.
He Googled it.
No.
Larry Googled it.
He Googled it.
No.
Andy, he Googled it.
Let's see. Ray from Springfield.
Ray.
In professional sports, there isn't such a thing as running up the score. The whole point is to win the game, period. Get over it. The Patriots have been on the losing end of enough games that can be considered running up, as have other teams. All I have to say to the ones who are losing by 21-plus points in a game is get a better defense. Hear, hear.
That's another one I wholeheartedly agree with.
Let's see. More running up the score. Artie from Keene, New Hampshire. I know that none of you guys listened to John's show yesterday, but I was stuck at work late, and it was on, so I listened. An emailer to John's show suggested that the league come out with a white flag to offset the red flag coaches already have. When the coach of the opposing team thinks that another team is running up the score, they can throw the white flag to say enough. My team can't take it, and I can't stop you, and I want to end the contest. They have it in boxing and other sports. Why not here? The point being, no one coach would have the balls to throw it, to say to his team of paid professional athletes that he thinks that they are not capable of competing at this level and want to give up. Not one coach would do this. So I say this whole BS about running up the score should go away. I agree with that email, and I agree with him. It's just my opinion, but I tell the defense, suck it up, Sally's, and earn your paychecks. Again, hear, hear.
I agree with every one of these emails, absolutely, wholeheartedly.
So there is no such thing as running up the score.
Well, I don't agree with that.
Let's see.
I just don't agree. I agree there's nothing wrong with it.
Angus says, I think if you look at it from a fan's perspective who was still sitting in the stands in the middle of the fourth quarter with the Patriots leading 49-14, you're going to want them to score. I mean, why the hell else are you still sticking around? Guys, you should argue more often. It's absolutely hysterical hearing
swinging
people
back
go
the other
right
way.
Thanks, Angus.
Keep up the intense bickering.
Angus. He likes the arguing.
Andy. We're just having some fun.
James is back. He says, way to go, Paul. Glad to see PFW is back to its best. I 100% agree with Paul and have no problem with us running up the score. We Patriots fans are always complaining about something about no respect, wrong kind of respect, etc. Who cares? Let them bitch. I don't care if we win every game by 100 points, scoring 50 in the fourth quarter. If teams have a problem with that, well, they should get a better team. It's not our fault that our fourth running back can score on their best defense.
That's right.
Hear, hear.
That's absolutely right.
Everybody is on board.
They're just surprised.
We're on Patriots.com. What would you expect?
Let's see.
I like the fact that the guys that say, Paul's right on, and Fred goes, exactly. Why are you yelling at me?
Matt from Quincy has our causes of death. He says, Casale, cause of death, flu shot. Andy, cause of death, hydrocephalus, which is a massive cranium. Fred, cause of death, Paul Perillo. And Perillo, cause of death, Fred Kirsch. Matt from Quincy.
What's that hydrous? I gotta stop. Right. I gotta use that.
Matt from Quincy has a good email.
And you didn't have
anyone
good
got
to
say
after it.
And actually, Matt, I owe you a phone call or a letter, if you listen,
or an email, or
for what?
Okay. Some other correspondence.
Something else.
What do you got going on with Matt?
All right, Matt. Right, I'm going through.
Hey, fella.
What do we got? Anything? Breaking?
Should we be reading these now?
Breaking
Gary?
News.
Is he going to get to these?
No, I just gave Paul that.
Hydrocephalus. Massive cranium.
Can I read this one from John in L.A.?
I would like you to, yes.
Go ahead.
Apparently, Fred, you skipped it. The subject is Lady Emailer. Let down your hair. I can't read this?
Go ahead.
All the things that are said, you're worried about this?
Euro King raping. He said, I don't want to brag, but I'm pretty intuitive, and I'm fairly certain that woman emailer from yesterday was hot, naked, and ready and willing to jump into bed. Just a hunch, baby doll. Grab me a suds, will you? John in L.A.
He couldn't read that?
I didn't want to instigate her.
Why?
We're just fooling her. We're just joking.
But people, no. I
yesterday
we
you said we're going to rape your women, we're going to pillage your village.
We had three other women who emailed in and told her to lighten up.
Right. Yeah, we got the hot one that Tom's in love with.
All it takes is one.
Yeah, Cali girl was all hot and bothered for Tom.
Telling her to stop.
Matt writes in, what's up with Jack Del Rio? I guess he went black and can't go back. I can speak about this because
I'm
biracial.
And you can read that?
Wait a minute. You can read that and not have any problem?
A funny little Saturday cartoon email.
It's just bad. This is bad.
Yes, yeah. We know.
Already read it.
Yeah.
You're black and you can't go back.
This is... Who is this? Matt, what are you talking about?
That's not Matt and Quincy, is it?
No, it's another Matt. That's a bad email.
Yeah, I mean... Yes. I know we get a little
why
bit.
Did you read that one?
No,
you
I don't
did.
Remember reading it
on the air.
You know that's
when
ridiculous.
Did that? What time did it come in?
I don't know. I just deleted it.
I mean, I know we get a little. You know, we push the envelope a little bit. We'll all be the first to admit it. But come on,
yeah.
Let's clean it up a little.
That's a bad.
That's
email.
That's beyond poor taste.
Yeah, well, it makes no sense. Not even as a joke.
That's all that matters. If it made sense, we'd be all for it.
All right, Craig has a true or false, since we don't let him call anymore.
Yeah, Craig, start doing the who would you kill. It's much more interesting.
No, he
than
should
true
call
false.
Craig
call or
in.
Yeah,
there he goes.
Craig's
a tough matchup
in.
For Craig,
he's
whoever
calling,
it is.
He's calling for a Fred phone call.
Yeah. True or false? At least 5 Pats are voted to the Pro Bowl.
True.
True.
Pats will break the season scoring record.
True.
True.
Brady will break Manning's TD record for the season.
True.
Brady will break the season record for completion percentage.
What is it?
70-something.
And he's like 3 ahead of it?
He's ahead of it right now.
I'm going to say false.
It's like Ken Anderson.
Ken Anderson was a very accurate passer.
Yeah, I'm going to say false because he throws too many down the field.
And finally, Jason Taylor will finish his career as a Patriot.
True.
False. Really?
False.
I don't think so.
I think he's getting to the point now where I don't know how much he's got. Well, said that with Sayo. Who knows? True.
You never know what groundwork Bill's laying at the Pro Bowl.
True or false? Chad Johnson is a Patriot.
True.
That's someday. Pretty funny.
Paul,
which one?
True or false?
that tasteless email.
Can I see it? I didn't really hear it.
Guy's got selective listening, doesn't he?
I'm sorry, Tom.
All right.
Gary sent it to me in the middle of the show.
Do you know why Junior Sayo plays fullback on the goal line?
Why he plays fullback?
Because the '98 Pro Bowl, they talked about it.
Tom,
you know
I want to offer
Bill
my
said
apologies
that in the press conference
today. All right.
And ask you to restate what
so
you
9 years ago they talked about.
The '98 Pro Bowl.
Belichick said you ought to play fullback.
Well, no, because they have no tight ends and fullbacks. The Pro Bowl, only one fullback and 2 tight ends. You know, Bill covering all his bases in a Pro Bowl game,
yeah.
Making sure he has a goal line fullback.
That's the part of it that I laughed at.
They talked about it. He said Sayo might have played tight end in the game, but and then they could have revisited it this spring. And then
you don't
want to
be sure chance on your goal line package at the Pro Bowl.
Then he listed all the other guys who have done it for him in the past, you know, the list of guys who got hurt doing it in the past.
All right.
He left him out.
Eric the Leg is here. Got to put your mic on.
What's up?
What's your opinion of running up the score?
Whether the Patriots have been doing it or not?
No,
or
just in general. Is that something that is people shouldn't
do? Does that bother
do?
You?
Does that bother you?
I think it sort of depends on who it is who's doing it and when they're doing it. And by that, I mean like in
what the hell does that mean?
Well, like in the last
guy,
playing
you
the
you
role
ever
of
see
Fred
a guy
Kirsch.
With a bigger fence up his ass than him?
That's a fence.
God bless you, Andy.
God bless you, too, Eric.
Like, I think you're referring to last week's game when it's 42-7 by halftime.
In general, people that complain
just
about,
in general.
They ran up the score on us.
I don't have a problem with it.
With people complaining or the running up the score?
Both. With running up the score.
Right, okay.
Because, you know, you're in there to win a game. And if you feel like you need to score some more, that's how you feel. And if the other team can't stop you.
That line he had highlighted was funny.
Right, okay. You know. So we're all in agreement.
So,
here.
Eric, this week you got, like, charts and stuff. You don't have just picks. I see, like, lines going back and forth.
This
and
is just my practice notes.
He doesn't care, though.
Now, Eric,
anything
did you
practice?
Just come from practice? Anything?
Yeah, just
what do you
came
got?
From practice.
We already disclosed that the practices were held on the upper fields because I know Fred was clamoring to find
I'm
out.
Giving you all the information I had. It's up to you to decide what's
Eric,
useful to you
to
or
him.
Not.
Don't
so,
listen to him.
You know,
all right?
Fred's mad at me.
Don't listen to him.
I could tell.
He's like an old lady.
everybody today had helmet, shoulder pads, and sweatpants. So Seymour was among that group, but everybody else had that as well. So he did take part in a few of the D-line drills, blocking the hanging tackling dummy there. You know, can't really tell much out of what he was doing because they were all going about
obviously,
the same speed.
As soon as you guys leave is when they do the real stuff.
Of course. Right. So, I mean, but he was out there with everyone else. You know, he was doing a lot of, like, swinging that leg. He was swinging that leg where the knee was injured. So sort of like trying to work it out.
Oh, he was doing that.
He was doing that for himself. It's kind of cold out there today.
Oh, okay.
So a lot of the guys had like hooded sweatshirts and a lot of long sleeves on. And
is
stuff,
it really
so.
That cold out?
It's chilly and it's just starting to rain.
It's probably the first real fall air that we've had. Wouldn't you say?
Sure.
It's a little damp. It's been damp in the last couple of days. It's a little cold out there, especially for a lot of these guys that aren't really used to cold weather.
Second day in a row.
Calling them pansies?
Well, I think a lot of the guys from the South really aren't used to a lot of cold weather. I don't know why that's making somehow fun. Attacking their manhood.
You were. I sensed it. I read between. You told me earlier to read between the lines. I read it.
I told you to read between the lines at a Belichick press conference.
All right, go ahead.
Paul comes from that frozen tundra known as Everett.
Second day in a row.
Such a dork.
The same guys who weren't there yesterday weren't there today.
Eugene Wilson.
All right, although we did see him in the locker room today. So, not that that's a, you know,
I don't know what you're doing. I was hanging out with Hall of Famers, so I wasn't.
That's true.
Logan Mankins is in the Hall of Fame.
John frickin' Hanna.
Oh.
And the black shirts
returned. Hall of Famers.
One.
All right.
The black
shirts.
The
only one around
back.
Here.
Black shirts were
back.
Who had them?
Gutierrez.
Oh.
And Larry Izzo.
Oh, okay. All right.
So a little one-day
like
delay on
Pro
that.
Pro Bowler getting a practice player of the week jersey.
He does a lot.
Maybe they're at the laundry and they didn't get him back in time.
And the other PUPs, Jackson, were both there. Brown, no.
No Brown
out.
What is going on with Troy Brown?
I think day by day.
I think
it's
he told
closer.
Him, you know what? What was the game? Cincinnati? What was the game that he was
on
the sideline
with his kids?
Yeah. I think he told him, you know, that was his little farewell. See you later.
Hey, Troy, you know how you were near the end of the bench and near the locker room for that game? That's as close as you're getting.
Well, I know Troy's got his bingo thing coming up here at Gillette Stadium.
Right? Bingo!
Yeah, so
his locker's still full, too.
Yeah,
I mean,
he still pops in and out of the locker room on the way to the trainer room.
He did it? Was it? No, it was last week. Oh, was it yesterday?
Yesterday, I saw him.
Yeah, he popped in.
He had a weighted vest on a couple days ago.
Did that look where he pops through the
actually,
looks around, sees all the reporters, and then tucks back out?
Last week, I happened to look over at the double door of the training room, and it opened about an inch and a half, and Troy Brown was looking out.
That's
and then
the one
shook
I,
his head and closed the door.
That's the one I was thinking about.
And he saw me eye to eye.
That's funny. That's
I think
funny.
He's done.
Could be.
I think he might be done. I think Tom's right.
How do you find room for him at this point?
I mean, I'm really surprised by it because I thought that they would find a spot for him.
I just
evidently
thought
he
wouldn't come back if there was
a
chance
he's
done.
That's why would you have him back?
Call it a career, have Troy Brown day.
And who do you get rid of from that?
Jabari
Gaffney.
But Gaffney is healthy
he's
kind of – he's
younger.
He's worked with Brady a little bit. Is it at this point beneficial – to take because I'm just asking, is it beneficial to take him out and take a risk with Troy Brown, an older Troy Brown coming off an injury, going forward into the playoffs?
It would be for me. If you're asking me to choose between those
I
two
like
players,
Troy
I'm
more
even,
just because I like
I'm not
Troy
even giving
more.
It a thought.
Because of ability or just
him? I'm just saying now if
ability,
he's
experience,
depending on his health.
Rapport with Brady.
His age.
Yeah. Everything.
The health and age would be the concern, is that you cut one guy, he signs with the Redskins, and a week later, Troy Brown goes on IR.
Well, the only concern I would have is if you really thought that Gaffney's a guy that you want around long-term. That's my only concern. If I'm expecting that Gaffney's going to be part of the 08 or 09 Patriots, obviously Brown's not, then I stick with Gaffney. But in terms of this year, I don't think your team is affected one iota either way.
Yeah, probably not.
What's an iota?
Small amount.
Is it? Kind of like an ionic.
Okay, so, anything else, Eric?
Nothing really significant. They, you know, we had the usual stretching. And
a lot
then,
of
like,
media out there?
Not really.
No.
Not today.
Small media crowd
all
today.
All over at Fenway.
Wednesdays are...
Small media crowd today.
Wednesdays tend to be the big one.
There was a national guy, Sam Farmer from the LA Times?
Yeah.
He's here. He was here. I'm not sure what he was working on, but I don't think he was having a lot of success with whatever he was trying to get. Because
those
there was,
guys come in with their... guns on their hip, thinking they're the national gunslinger.
Well, he's not one of those. No, he's not one of those guys, though.
Was he playing along? I don't even know who he is.
He's very deferential to, you know, the local guys and whatnot. He doesn't. You wouldn't know that he's a national guy.
Is that the guy that was trying to get?
He's no Jarrett Bell.
Yes.
Or Sal Palantonio. He's not a rhymes with rock.
And you can see when those guys, when you walk into a locker room with those guys there, you know immediately who the national guys are when you see those guys. You wouldn't know with Sam Farmer.
The what do they say? I don't know if I can say it.
Yeah, I was at the game.
The awk of the walk. Can you say that as a phrase?
I don't know.
Oh, I can?
Yeah.
The cock of the walk.
The cock is the... No, I'm saying the... It's the bird.
No, I know.
The rooster?
I was listening to that, Tom.
Well, all you said was the cock is a bird.
Oh, boy. We're really getting yelled at by this guy.
Oh, I thought it was for saying...
What are you going to do?
We or you and Paul?
Tell him to take a hike.
It's from Nick.
These things happen.
Nick says, first of all, in 1972, the Dolphins beat the Patriots 52-0. Now tell me, at what point should the Dolphins have stopped scoring? I say when the clock is
30.
Out of time. The Dolphins have beaten us 41-10, 34-10, 38-7, 41-10. As far as the Cowboys game two Sundays ago, they stopped the clock, which served them no football purpose. Otherwise, the clock would have run out. We would have not have had time to score. I will concede that there might be a little of we can score big without typing our opponent's signals element in the scoring, and there may be a little bit of our QB and the team can put up the big numbers just the same way as any other team, to be read as the Colts, but there is nothing wrong with any of this. You guys create a horrible broadcast. Do you know nothing about broadcasting? Too many of you talking, yelling and screaming.
Shut up.
Being in enemy territory, I have such a great need to hear a good patch show like the one that follows yours.
Well, good. So listen to it and don't listen
to
us.
Can you guys control the volume and change the on-air conduct? You guys either sound like women or sulking little maladjusted children. God, could you try a little harder to produce a good show?
Nope.
No, it's not all in the eyes of the beholder. There are standards.
We know from experience, dude.
Well, we blame that all on Gary. That's not our fault.
Tell Marconi to go get his wireless and take it somewhere else.
That thing that you're listening to, it's got an X. Why don't you click it, you douchebag?
Oh! There you go. There you go.
And by the way, rattling off several examples of Miami running up the score, how was that supposed to counter my argument about running up the score?
It just tells Miami the winning Patriots stunk.
Miami winning 52-0, does that mean they didn't run up the score?
No, it means the Patriots stunk, like the Dolphins stink now.
Angus says, exactly. Keep up the fighting. I'm Scottish.
Apparently I'm Sean Connery.
I was going to say, was that supposed to be Sean Connery?
He likes...
Thanks a lot, Braveheart.
He likes it when we argue.
Do the Scottish drink a lot, too?
No, they fight a lot.
Scotch whiskey.
I don't know. What kind of stereotypes can we find for the Scottish?
They wear skirts, right? They wear skirts.
Kilts, yeah.
They wear a skirt to a fight.
Craig says he'd call, but the phone's busy.
Just when you call.
Sure it is.
But he also says, when asked about the Pats running up the score, both Parcells and Ditka said, if you don't like them running up the score, shut up and stop them.
That's right.
Nobody has figured out how yet.
That's right. I agree with Craig. First time in how many years? 9 years.
We should point out, speaking of running up the score, Mike Ditka, I mean, where do you think... I mean, the fridge, he used to put it, the fridge
absolutely.
In there. And,
absolutely.
I mean, look at the scores from those 2 years, 85 and 86, where they were really good. The scores like 58-0,
but
you know,
Fred
49-0.
Fred says those weren't running up the score. There's no such thing in pro sports.
No such thing as pro sports.
But putting in defensive tackles to score touchdowns to make it 52-0 in the Super Bowl.
But
that's no such thing.
But
running up the score is when.
Well, Fred,
and that was
all,
in the best interest of winning the game.
First of all, I've let you go long enough.
There
you're freaking wrong. Okay, so
you're
just shut up.
The only reason you say that is because you're betting on it.
No.
And when you don't cover, you're up. Upset because they run up the score.
No, running up the score is like when you're up 20-0 in the fourth quarter like the 49ers and they put Guy McIntyre in at fullback against the Bears and handed him the ball. That's running the score up. So you know what Mike Ditka did the next year when they were leading? He put the fridge in and handed him the ball.
So
that's
what?
Good for, right. I'm saying it's good for football.
So
I
what?
Like it.
It's fine.
Somehow you're thinking that people have these huge problems with it. Just accept the fact that it's an example of running up the score,
wait,
and this can end.
Oh, Paul.
If you're handing the ball to your guard, that's running up the score. You're embarrassing the other
team. I don't
team.
Have a problem with it. There was an obvious personal reason that Ditka did that.
Are you telling me that people don't have a problem with the Patriots?
No, I'm telling you that I don't, and you're arguing with me that they didn't run up the score.
Right. The issue, Fred,
I'm saying there's no such thing as running up the score.
Fred,
right.
The issue
and
is,
I'm saying, how can you not say that that's an example of running up the score?
They have a
you're
problem
being
with
stubborn.
The Patriots. It has nothing to do with them now running up the
thank
score.
Thank you, Andy.
It's they don't like the Patriots, and running up
whatever
the score
do,
is a way to
like.
Make fun
if
of
the
them.
The Patriots win 7-6,
them.
They're going to make fun of them. That's what they do.
I'm saying,
a lot of people do not like
I'm
Bill
saying,
Belichick.
I'm saying, here's my stance. I'm saying that a team scoring as many points as they can in a game is nothing to complain about by anybody. You shouldn't complain about
but
that.
But as long as you admit that that's running up the score, then there's no complaining. Well, there's no argument.
Yeah, okay. If that's what you want to call it, but, I mean, so anytime
you want to call it murder.
Anytime a team tries to score as many points as running up the score, I guess you're right. But I don't think that there's anything wrong with that.
I agree with you.
It's only running up the score if you succeed in scoring a lot of points.
You know? I mean,
if you win 7-0, you didn't run up the score.
It's like these other teams on the other side of the line are just helpless victims. You know, they're
professionals. But you got to the point a minute ago. People don't like the Patriots.
Right.
They don't.
That's the point.
That's what this is all about.
It's got nothing to do with
a
specific camera. It's got nothing to do with a specific score. Nothing to do with any of that. They don't like the Patriots.
Right.
Fred,
the
Patriots like rub them the wrong way.
The Patriots have won more than everybody else, and they don't like the head coach.
This is the latest
thing. That's what
this
is all about.
When the Patriots were underdogs, you know, no one gave them respect for their abilities. Now that they're clearly better than everyone else, they're just bad people.
But Fred, I don't think it's necessarily
the
points.
Better.
It's not the points. But here's my thing. Say they were beating the Jets 20-0.
Okay.
And there was 20 seconds left, and they handed the ball to Junior Seau for a touchdown. See, to me, that's Bill saying, you know, F you to Eric Mangini, saying, here, Seau just scored on you. What do you think of
well,
that?
Well, speaking of that,
what if he threw a pass? What if it was a minute left and it was 20-0 and he threw a touchdown pass with Brady to Moss? Do you think that would be running up the score?
Well,
no,
they did.
I don't know.
What about the
I don't know.
He still can't admit that would be running up the score.
What about the Cleveland game when it was like fourth and goal and they ran Echo three times and then threw a play action pass and was like near the end of the game.
They tried.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
they
tried.
But and then in
you
the
know,
Cowboys
like Fred
game,
says, it's the defense's responsibility to stop them.
When Vinny Testaverde scored against Tennessee last year, was that running up the score?
Yes.
And making a mockery of the game, but that's a different topic.
That's another argument.
Lucky's on the phone, who buys us lunch a lot. Lucky, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. How y'all doing?
What's
good
up, Lucky?
Did y'all get lunch today?
We got lunch today.
I was thinking about buying y'all some stuff, but my house got broken into this morning, so
you're
kidding. Doing my laptop.
Oh, that sucks.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry, you can get lunch tomorrow.
No, we'll pencil you in for Tuesday.
Yeah.
We'll give you a little time to recover.
That really bothers me. That some ass.
And I'll say.
I'm just kidding.
Where do you live? Obviously. A bad neighborhood?
No, actually, it's a pretty nice neighborhood. But apparently, my house was the one that was triggered. I'm kind of pissed. I'm like, pick somebody else's house. Why you had to pick mine?
Right.
Sounds like an inside job. You got any friends you don't really like, don't really trust?
No.
Don't trust the government.
Exactly.
Did I ever tell you the story about when I got broken into?
They paying for it, so.
It's true. If the government stole the laptop, it was their laptop.
It was theirs anyway.
No, I'm not talking about them paying for the laptop. I'm talking about where I live, the house that I live in. They paid for it.
Okay.
So that's how y'all get lunch, you know, because they hooked me up.
That's
so I
right.
Y'all up.
We got to get to the bottom of this. We got to get the police on this quickly.
Yeah. Do we have any police officers listening? Get to Lucky's house and find his laptop. Of course,
so
he's a Marine.
Why y'all arguing about people running up the score? Let them score. I personally wish Brady can throw for like 10 touchdowns, but it ain't never going to happen.
So do I. I have him on my fantasy team.
I wouldn't rule it out.
Yeah, I wouldn't rule it out either, the way they're going.
All it would take is, you know, Castle not going into the game last week, and it could have happened.
That's true. They slowed down in the third quarter. I think if they really wanted to, they could have scored a couple of touchdowns in the third quarter.
Of course they could have.
So you're saying they didn't try then?
They weren't trying that hard.
They weren't trying to score in the third quarter?
They weren't trying that hard.
I thought you said the game was still in doubt. Why would they not be trying to score?
They weren't trying that hard. They weren't running the plays.
Batting practice.
They weren't running the plays.
Bang.
They took their foot off the throttle.
They weren't trying to score, but the game was still in doubt. That makes a lot of sense.
Okay, but how come they only scored 7 points in the second half, Paul?
Thanks, Lucky.
Lack of execution.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
Do you think
Lucky. Keep
so they
talking.
Played as they played as well in the second half as they did in the first?
Not defensively.
Offensively, I'm talking about.
They took their foot off the throttle.
But why? They didn't try. They didn't stop throwing the ball.
No. You know. Okay.
Lucky, it's your turn. What do you got?
So Brady was throwing incomplete passes on purpose now. All four of them.
Yeah. All four of them. Exactly.
You just love arguing, don't you?
They do.
Because he's so stubborn.
Between Fred
Lucky.
And Paul, boy, I think y'all might be the death of each other.
Lucky, I've never met people who owe their living to an organization that kill it the way these guys
do. People? We're just sitting over here being quiet.
I owe my living to you, Fred, not the organization.
I am the organization.
I am the organization.
We are one and the same.
Oh, sorry, Nick. I just yelled. I didn't mean that. Your wet blanket.
Hey, Lucky, Lori said she met you a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I know.
How about that?
Hey.
How you doing?
He was putting the moves.
Does she go to the games? Is she there at the games?
Yes.
Yeah,
the home games. All right,
because I'm going to be there early from that Philadelphia game.
Easy.
All right.
Doesn't mean you're getting lucky.
Hey, I didn't say I was going to get lucky. Maybe, you know, y'all can give me like a tour or something. Or she can give me a tour. She can make
no, Fred will. No, you bought lunch.
If you come during the week, I will give you a tour, Lucky.
Oh, if I come during the week?
Yeah.
And we'll introduce you to
Well,
geez,
I have Tuesday off. I might be there on Tuesday.
Tuesday's a good day.
Bring food.
Have him on the show. Bring food.
Yeah, bring food.
We'll even have you on the show, Lucky.
All right, all right, all right. See, now I'm definitely going. What time I got to be there? Tell me what time.
Come around 10 o'clock. 11 o'clock. We'll do the tour, and then we'll go on the show.
Okay.
11 o'clock.
Definitely.
All right.
I'll be there.
Okay.
All right.
See you next Tuesday.
All right.
Somebody, please remind Fred Tuesday morning that Lucky's coming, because I've seen him in his office when someone comes. It was that guy that one time. Remember, we had to take him to the TV show with us.
I left some guy hanging for like an hour.
No, the guy came to the TV show with us.
No,
remember
the one guy you drove? We were walking out and he was coming in. And he goes, "Hey, Fred," and you go, "Oh, hey," and he goes, "We have that meeting," and he goes, "Oh," you go, "Yeah, we're on the way to the TV show. Why don't you just come with us?"
I remember that.
Is this the man?
Who was that? I don't remember.
It was some college kid about like computers.
Oh,
I heard you talking about the future of computers.
Oh, yeah, that was informal. That wasn't
a little less formal than he envisioned it. I think he had a suit on.
All right, yeah, Gary reminds us that we need to go around the NFL here and do our picks. So, Paul, why don't you fill us in with what happened last week?
All right, last week, Freddie, a little bit of a bounce back for everybody. Just flat out winners. Eric the Leg, 12-2.
Wow.
Tom was 11-3. I was 10-4. Andy was 9-5. Fred was 7-7.
7-7.
With the number. Listen to this. This is very impressive, Fred.
Not for you though.
Tom Casale with the number 11-3.
Nice. Wow.
You hurting, Fred.
Done. I was 9-5, which is an all-time record for me. Eric the Leg, 7-7, and Andy and Fred, 6-8.
Ooh, he would have gone 12-2 if he didn't hate the Cowboys.
Right.
No, I lost that by half a point. I bought the half at the casino.
All three games that he lost, he was actually winning in the fourth quarter, too. Anyway, the season standings are as follows. Tom and Eric, 67-36. I am 66-37. Fred, 65-38. Andy, 60-43.
Wow.
With the number, Tom, 52-45-6, the only one over 500.
I'm done. I'm quitting.
Eric the Leg, 47-50-6. I am one game back of Eric, 46-51-6. Fred, 45-52-6. And Andy, 41-56-6.
Well, now Fred's within range, though.
You guys tied last week. You had the same range.
But he's within range. I'm coming for him.
You're,
oh, there's that commercial.
Nine games behind him.
They're selling bubble gum as a magic cure-all to fix anything.
I'm sorry, four games behind him.
Do you see this, Fred?
Yeah, I'm looking at that.
That's all right, so good. There you go, Fred.
All right.
Cut like
Are you not doing the games again this week?
Not doing them. You got him in front of you, right?
All
right,
Andy Hart, you going to lead us off as usual?
Sure.
All right.
What game are we talking about?
Oh, I meant to bring the sheets.
Cleveland Browns travel to St. Louis to...
That's true. They argue all the time.
Battle the winless...
Who? I wasn't listening. Start over.
I'm glad it's because we're arguing that he has to waste time. Cleveland goes to St. Louis to battle the winless Rams.
I'll take Cleveland.
Cleveland by 3.
I'll take Cleveland. AFC, NFC, Rams stink. Cleveland, not as stinky.
Yep, Cleveland, easy.
Same thing, Cleveland both ways.
Another example of him just using Tom's words and paraphrasing. An emailer accused you of just rewording all of Tom's comments. Yeah. Why you'd want to use Tom's comments in the first place,
right.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I think so little of Tom's comments, I'm not even listening when he's talking. He gets all mad at me.
Oh.
Evidently, he's not mad, though.
Not the best guy in the business.
I'm going to agree with the boys. I'm going to take Cleveland, although I am a little concerned with
DirecTV again.
Continuing to
fuzz on all five screens.
Continuing to pick against these winless teams. I think they have to win at some point, but I'll have to get a loss that week. Cleveland.
I'll go with Cleveland as well. About us arguing. Brian says, Tom pulls out douchebag with an edge in his voice. Thanks, Tom. If this show changes its format, you will lose far more fans than the numero uno douchebag who has never recovered from the wedgies he got in high school. Dude, buy a Sirius radio and tune into the Martha Stewart or Deepak Chopra show if you want order.
Deepak Chopra.
Deepak
He's like
Chopra.
One of those self-help
Not surprised
people.
You know.
I know. Go ahead. Hey,
God
steering
bless
it up.
You.
Steering it up.
All right.
I know from experience, dude.
What was it again?
Deepak Chopra. He's an Indian guy who's like a self-help
Tupac
person for the
Tupac Shakur
for the Hollywood elite. Go, he's like one of those life coach, spiritual leader type
Michelle Murphy,
pseudo intellectual weirdos.
That's the second
ready
in,
one two
in studio
three, four five. Six,
the next
seven,
game
eight, nine,
should be a
ten.
Good matchup here. NFC North battle. Detroit travels to Chicago, where the Bears are favored by 4.5.
Bears. I don't like the Bears. I'm going with Detroit on the road. I'll take the Lions to spring a little bit of an NFC North road upset, if it is still really a big upset. The Bears just, they have that Super Bowl hangover loss thing going on, and I don't like them anymore.
Okay.
Charles London, not getting it done.
Well, it would be an upset, hence the 4.5.
Yes, I know.
Spread. I'll take the Bears big in this game. I think they went to Detroit. They were ahead in that game, and they should have won it. And Detroit had that crazy comeback at the end. I think they got that lift last week in Philadelphia, and they start to right the ship a little bit. And the Lions, they haven't had a lot of luck in Chicago lately, and I think that continues.
Well, in a rare case of me disagreeing with Tom and not using his words.
Crap. You don't have to get mad. You don't have to cry yourself to sleep on the giant. You don't have to cry yourself to sleep on
my oversized
on your small
pillow.
You have Lions 2. Does that mean Lions both ways? You needed to write that down?
I think this is his way of not trusting me, and he checks the numbers later.
That's exactly right, Paul. I don't know why I'm so high on these Lions. I've been picking them every week, and they burn me more often than they should. But I'm going to stick with them.
I've been playing that game for like 3 years.
I'm going to stick with them to come out with the upset this week.
I agree. It's funny, because I'm going to take Chicago. I actually agree with both guys. I think that Andy's right. I think Detroit's a better team right now than Chicago, but I am not sure that they have progressed to the point where they're going to go to Chicago and win. And therefore, I'm going to take the Bears because of the way they won last week. Last 15 seconds, greasy, great drive, 97-yard drive, a game that they probably wouldn't have won if Grossman was still playing. So I'm going to say that they carry that over and they find a way to win. I actually think even though they're favored, it's an upset win because I think Detroit is better than Chicago. I'm going to take the Bears.
I'm going to take the Lions, period.
Okay.
Another one who's not the best color guy in the business for nothing. Indianapolis, Andy, will, in the midst of a monster stretch of games here, will travel to Carolina where they are favored by 6.5.
Are you surprised that it's only 6.5?
A little bit.
Coming off a Monday night game on the road to play again on the road and sandwiched in between the Patriots with San Diego coming up next.
That's my point. I think they're thinking that they're going to be looking ahead.
That and the fact that they are on the road
against
the team that's above 500.
I will take the Colts to win and cover because I think they're the better football team. Maybe you guys are right. Maybe their defense is a little better. I watched them again last week. Was a little bit more impressed. The Panthers, even though they were my Super Bowl pick off them, I think Carr is going to come back to start, right?
I thought he was out for the year.
Oh, no. He's definitely not out for the year.
No, I think he is starting.
And I think he's going to start this
week. I saw something that was incorrect in Sports Illustrated,
but
it definitely said he was out for the year.
Oh, he's not. But that doesn't really matter. He's not what you'd call good.
No.
So it doesn't really matter to them. Maybe we have been overrating their talent for years, overrating John Fox, overrating everything. I don't know. They're just not that good.
You don't think it has anything to do with the quarterback being out?
I do, but I don't. I just.
But they really weren't playing that good.
Yeah, but I think the fact that they won a game with Vinny Testaverde at quarterback tells you that they have more talent than probably most of the teams.
I just think we look at, they don't put it together. Like, they got these running, everybody thinks Deshaun Foster's pretty good and D'Angelo Williams is pretty, well, run the ball then. But they just haven't done it.
Yeah, someone catch a pass besides Steve Smith.
Right,
it doesn't
come together.
Yeah.
Maybe they do have individual talent then, and maybe they just don't put it together.
It's not coming together.
I'll take the Colts.
I could see this game being close, though. It's a tough spot for the Colts. I'm going to take them to win and cover just because they're a far superior football team, but it wouldn't shock me if this one is one of those tight ones in the fourth quarter.
I thought this past Monday night was going to be the game where they got tested, and they didn't, and I'm not going to bet against them until next week. So, Colts.
Fred, that must warm your heart.
That's
to hear
his
Eric.
Way of saying I'm picking them, I guess.
To hear Eric make a pick like that must warm your heart.
Smart pick.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Colts big. I don't think they suffer a letdown at all, despite the fact that it is a tough spot on the schedule for them. And I think they roll, and we have two undefeated teams next week, and let the fun begin.
Yeah, I think the Colts are going in this game thinking, if they are thinking ahead, saying, well, we know we're going to have to execute almost perfectly on offense, so we can't. We have to go into that game coming off a game having done just that. So I think they're going to be scoring big points in this game. I look for the Colts to cover.
All right, next up is the game in London that Running everybody is score. Talking about. The New York Giants and the Miami Dolphins. Giants by 9.5.
That number's not big enough. Giants roll. Dolphins stink. Giants may suffer a setback afterwards because of this trip. I don't think it can affect the Dolphins because you can't go from stink to stink more because you have a hangover. But Dolphins are the better – I mean, the Giants are the better football team. Dolphins stink.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Giants to win. I guess I'll take them to cover, too. Something tells me this trip to London is going to be a problem for them. People are going to say, see, you shouldn't go to London because of blah, 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 and we're going to have to hear about it on sports talk radio for the next 10 days.
How far is London?
It's better than running
it's
up
to five hours.
So it's the same as a West Coast trip, right?
Yeah,
pretty much.
But it's different, though. It's different going to a different country. But I'll go with the Giants.
Jamie Crowder doesn't even know where London is.
I think the Giants are the best team in the NFC right now, so
really?
I'll take them. Yep.
He's still mad at the Cowboys.
It's only a five-hour flight to London.
I'm not mad at the Cowboys. They're not as good as the Patriots. I think they have a bad
coach.
You
weren't comparing them to the Patriots. I was comparing them to
the Giants. No, but I'm not mad that they lost that game. You keep thinking I'm mad that they lost. I'm not. I just don't think that they have a good coach, and I don't think that their defense is going to be able to hold up to the entire season playing good teams.
Not worried about the language difference of those players going to a different country or anything?
Who are you, Channing Crowder?
I'm okay.
Okay.
They do have to bring in the different plugs, though.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yep.
I have those adapters.
I do, too. Well, the electrical outlets
are
different.
I don't want to know.
Why not?
Because I don't want knowledge. I just want sports
I'm
knowledge.
I'm pretty sure.
give me your freaking pick and shut up.
Yeah, but if you went out
to
London, you'd have to have that or else you couldn't plug into the internet.
When am I going to London? I don't leave my house.
Yeah. And when we go, Tom will call you, Fred, and say, Fred, you got one of those adapters? I need some apparently to plug in here.
Did you guys say something about that?
It's like, why do I need a watch? I just asked someone what time it is.
Yeah, Dolphins, I think, have become the worst team in the NFL. They lost their two best players last week. They traded their wide receiver, and they lost their running back against New England. So they're not going to get any better this season. Giants big.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Giants, too. Yeah, again, same as St. Louis. I don't think that Miami will lose every game, but I'll just have to suffer through a loss the week that they finally win one.
Well, I don't know. Miami could. I mean, the way they're packing it in.
They packed it in. There's no doubt about that.
So I'm going to go with the Gents.
Those announcements, and we didn't even talk about that this week. The announcements in the press box were comical.
In Miami, yeah.
A guy in the second quarter had cramps. His return was doubtful.
One guy got ill.
One guy was ill. It was really funny. I mean, it was amazing how badly outplayed they were. Oakland, Andy, goes to Tennessee where the Titans are favored by 7.5.
Ooh. Titans by 7.5.
You're going to buy that half point down again there?
I'd like to.
The Titans to
seven
win.
In most places.
I'll take the Titans to win, but I'll take the 7.5 with the Raiders. I don't think the Titans are at that level yet where more than a touchdown you feel all that comfortable given it, even if the Raiders aren't. I saw an interesting – they're thinking of releasing Dominic Rhodes this week.
I thought they already did.
Oh, maybe I missed the latest transaction. But
another one of those Colts players they can't live without.
Right.
Absolutely.
Only replaced him with Kenton Keith.
So, I don't think the Raiders
are
going to
end up with him back.
But I think a lot of teams can stay close with the Titans, even if they have insanity to, in the end, make sure they win. But,
yeah. Andy, I agree with you 99% of the time on this. Something just tells me, though, they're about to whoop on the Raiders for some reason. I heard McCown's going to play some quarterback possibly. I just feel like the Raiders are starting to get to that point of the season where they got a lot of question marks at the quarterback position.
Head coach.
And
I think Russell's going to have to play soon.
Yeah, and I also – the Titans gave up that lead last week, and Jeff Fisher is one of those intense guys, so I think the defense this week, I agree with you, they're not a good favorite, but I'm looking at maybe like a 23-6 type game for the Titans, so I'll take them both ways.
That
half point's going to freaking kill me.
I've been taking the Titans a lot this year, and they're another team that's been killing me, so I will take them to win, but I do like the Raiders to cover that number, so.
I just think Oakland isn't ready. I mean, losing at home to Kansas City last week, not that, you can put anything in the book for a team like Oakland, but I thought that was a disappointing performance. I'm going to take Tennessee, despite the trepidations about them as a favorite, given points, because I don't think Tennessee's offense is very good. Kerry Collins played a great game last week, and you know maybe he duplicates that, or maybe he goes back to being why he's the backup.
Well, I believe Vince Young is playing.
If he's back, then that's all the better. I think Tennessee will roll.
I'm going to go Tennessee to win, but I'll take the Raiders to cover the game.
How about the Chiefs leading the division going into the bye?
It's unbelievable.
That's a terrible team. That's
Herm
a
Edwards,
terrible,
best coach, better than Bill Belichick.
Herm Edwards?
How does that guy win? At least we know Belichick is smart and knows what he's doing. How does Herm Edwards win a game? He's in the playoffs every year.
You
it's
know,
amazing.
A couple of weeks ago we talked about all the good teams in football have a good head coach and a good quarterback, or at least one, but most of the time
they have neither.
And I mentioned Jacksonville is one, I think, with neither, and that's another one with neither.
Yep.
And they have a winning record. You know, as much as I love Damon Heward, but I mean, let's face it.
Well, and I imagine the Chargers will catch them at some point.
Oh yeah, I don't even think they're going to make the playoffs.
No,
Philadelphia, Fred. Next game up, Philadelphia is at Minnesota.
It's a tough game.
Vikings getting one.
Vikings getting one. Is my boy playing?
Is this one of those you're going to pick a team to win and the other team to cover? although that's only when it's 1.5. I'm sorry.
I'm going to take the Eagles, although I guess there's some turmoil in Philly, whatever the big paper is called his job.
The Daily News, actually the paper that Paul Domowicz writes for, had an op-ed piece saying that Andy Reid should step down.
That's interesting.
Is the point
and not because
distracted.
Of his kid. Not because of a kid, because he's failed.
I'll tell you what.
He's had 9 years.
That's pretty tough. That is pretty tough.
He's had 9 years to do what he's done, and now they see other teams.
That's what I want to show people that think that the Boston media is tough. Right. That's the kind of thing I want to
and
show.
Fred,
people.
Did they happen to mention any coaches that they can get that are better than Andy Reid?
Right. No.
There you go.
Didn't mean to catch a mid yawn.
But I think the Eagles are
it's
the better team.
That post Papagino's nap time, you know.
Why are your pants unbuttoned,
Paul? Why are you looking down there?
Tavares Jackson, as I said, his career has been ruined by Brad Childress and the decisions they've made in Minnesota.
His career's been ruined.
We'll never know.
Did you ever see a guy who covers his tracks more than he
does? We will never know. He should have had
why
a couple
will we
years
never
on
know?
The bench.
He had a whole year to sit around and watch.
He should have had
he
a couple
two whole
years on the bench doing nothing, learning a pro offense, throwing. Brad Childress made fun of the offense he came from, and then he's like, oh, just play. Just go ahead. Ridiculous. They screwed him.
All right. You done? Okay. I do kind of think Andy Reid's head might not be in it this year because everything that's going on, that's just human nature. But I'd like them to win big here because if Bill Belichick can outsmart Childress the way he did, I'm pretty sure the guy who had him as a coach knows what to do. That's spread him out, even though they don't have good receivers, just dink and dunk on Minnesota all day long. So I like the Eagles big in this game.
I like to pick at least one upset every week, so I'm going to go with
pick 'em?
Minnesota.
So you took a pick of the game and made it your upset? Okay, Minnesota. I'm going to take Minnesota.
Eric, notice that was them, not me.
That big one-point underdog.
I'm going to take Minnesota as well. I think that both of these teams stink. I am not a fan of the Philadelphia Eagles' talent. I think that people should be recognizing how good of a coach Andy Reid is because I don't think that they've had great talent throughout their run, and I think the amount of winning that they've done in the past is remarkable. But I just think these are two bad teams, and I'm going to take the home team. Minnesota, I think Adrian Peterson runs it right down their throat.
I've always liked Andy Reid as a coach.
I think he's an excellent coach.
But I also think he's an excellent blend of – I don't know why I used excellent, just because apparently you did it. I didn't even want to say it. But
he's a fine coach.
he's like a blend between the maniac Bill Belichick and the player coach, the good guy. Like, he seems to blend – do a decent job of blending the maniac attitude you need to have as a coach, but the just kind of having a life.
The only criticism I would
have
of him.
I guess that's because I saw him drunk in the elevator at the combine.
Yeah, maybe that's where his kids learned it.
What?
Is that off limits?
Wow, bad
is that
guy.
Off limits? The only criticism I would have of him as a coach, I think that too much that West Coast offense has been too willing to throw it every down,
right.
And I think you can't win like that. But I think he's a pretty good coach.
I have something to say after I get my pick. I'm picking Philly. I think this year McNabb's have 1 week good, 1 week bad. I think this is his good week. He's going to have a good week this week.
How did he play last week, Tom? Do you know?
He was not good.
Oh.
And he's playing the last-ranked pass defense in the NFL, so if he can't have a good week this week, it's...
Right.
Okay, now go for it. You had something to say.
No, I was reading, I think it might have been Vic Carucci on NFL.com. You brought up the West Coast offense, Paul.
Yeah.
And that's what reminded me of it. Vic was asking GM or a GM, I don't know if it was one or more, how do you stop the Patriots? And this one GM says, well, basically what the Patriots are running is a West Coast offense. And I'm thinking, what?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Because I talked to Dan Fouts, and he said the exact opposite.
Right.
He said the West Coast offense is a conservative offense that uses, you know, he said he thought that's more what the Patriots did in the past. But
I agree.
With these new weapons, they're going vertical like we did in San Diego more because they have the weapons.
Right.
And, I mean, I have that quote in the story.
I just thought it was so – it was in like yesterday, NFL.com.
Yeah,
check it
out. I would agree with you on that, Fred. In the past, and Belichick has kind of bristled at the notion that you called it a West Coast offense,
right.
But I think there were a lot of similarities.
It was conservative passing.
But
it wasn't the rhythm passing that West Coast is.
No, but I think that they...
It was closer to West Coast than pretty much anything
to
else.
To me,
West Coast is three steps, boom.
And I think that's a lot what they did.
I don't think Brady... I think Brady
absolutely.
Took full
drops. Go back and watch the metal...
I mean, once in a while, he'd shoot one to the side.
Ding, ding.
In the middle of a sentence.
It's Thursday. No, it's not Thursday, you idiot.
The next game is Pittsburgh, because evidently we can't talk football and argue about it. Because Nick in, is that Michigan?
Yeah,
sure, that's
Nick.
N. Nick will be very upset.
Nick and Alice in Wonderland.
No, not and. Nick.
No, I said, are we sure it's an N? Could be a D.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
I'm just saying.
Pittsburgh, Andy, at Cincinnati.
I'll take Pittsburgh.
Steelers by 3.5.
I'll take Pittsburgh. I think they're the better football team, even though Paul thinks they stink. I'll take them to beat up on their division rival.
No way Cincinnati can hang with a physical football team like Pittsburgh. The only way they could if it's one of those 45-42 games, one of those crazy games, and they just start throwing it around. But wait, Pittsburgh much too physical for Cincinnati.
Yeah, in spite of their overrated quarterback, I will take the Steelers, too.
Oh.
Again, with the Cubs, Fred.
I'm going to take Pittsburgh as well. I just don't see Cincinnati.
What's the spread on this one?
3.5.
Oh yeah.
I don't like Cincinnati. I think they're still guilty of being the most immature team in the league.
Is he out?
He's got to be. But I will say that just because I don't think Pittsburgh is as good as Indianapolis, Andy, does not mean I think Pittsburgh stinks.
I'm just paraphrasing what you've said in the past.
No, actually you're not. Anyway, Fred?
If the spread was a little bigger, I would maybe go with Cincinnati to cover because it's one of those intra-divisional games, and sometimes they surprise you just because they're just competitive and guys get up for those games, but I got to go with Pittsburgh to cover in this game.
Okay,
wait, you're trying to...
All right, another interdivisional game, as Fred would say. Buffalo travels to the Meadowlands to face the Jets in one that will all be...
Inter or intra?
Intra.
Intra.
I was kind of...
He said inter, didn't
I said
he?
It on purpose.
Yeah. Okay.
But did you happen to see this play with UConn a couple weeks ago?
They've been showing it 8 million times here.
He definitely called for a fair catch.
He did.
How do you miss that?
I don't know, and I don't know why you can't review that.
That's ridiculous.
The guy obviously had his hand...
That cost Louisville a game?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. That's a good tactic if you can get away with it. The Jets are favored by 3, Andy.
Over who?
Buffalo.
I'll take the Jets to win this one, although I like the decision that they've handed it over to Trent Edwards as quarterback, even if it was Ralph Wilson who made it, and that in itself is a problem. I guess in talent, the Jets are better, even if Vilma, I guess, might not play or might be out for the season or something, but I just don't think much of the Bills' talent.
Yeah, I like the way the Bills are scrapping. They're fighting for their coach. You know, they're really showing some heart. I like the quarterback decision. I think they'll be a tough out at home, but on the road, I got a feeling they're not going to be quite as good. I'm going to take the fighting man genies here to get it done.
I like Buffalo in this game. I don't like what I'm seeing out of the Jets lately. I do agree with Andy about liking that Trent Edwards decision, wherever it came from. So I'm going to take them on the road upset here.
I'm going to take the Jets, and I'm going to say that the first mistake that Chad Pennington makes will be his last. And I think as long as that doesn't cost them the game, that the Jets will win the game because they're so much better than Buffalo. But I agree with Tom. I like the way the Bills have played, and I think they are scrapping. I think very similar to last year. I think they're playing hard for their coach. They're just undermanned.
I'm going to go with the Bills to win this game. I think there's a lot of dissension in the ranks with the Jets. Things have fallen apart, and the Bills are very excited about possibly playing some games in Toronto.
Houston.
What the hell does that mean?
Houston and San Diego are going to play in a game, Andy, that right now we don't know where it's going to be. We have set the line at 10, San Diego by 10.
Who's we?
Tom and I.
Me.
What, there's no line?
No, I found it.
It's off the board. Tom looked it up. We did some research. We don't come
shady places where Tom gets lines.
Absolutely.
San Diego's favored by 10?
It's pregame.com. It's the biggest gambling site in the world.
Pregame.com?
Yeah.
We just now advertise for everything around here. Sopcast.
What is, there's no official line because of what's going on right there.
They don't know. They don't know where it is.
Well, there was a line, but they took it off.
Right. And the line before they took it off, and that might change now, it was 10. That's the closest we can get.
Right. So we don't know what's going to happen. It looks like they may play it actually in San Diego right
now. What exactly is the situation in San Diego? Like, how close is actual fire to San Diego, the stadium and everything?
Well, I don't know how close it is to the stadium. I think it's just the issue of using it as a
no. I know that, but I mean, like, how far away are the fires, Fred? Anyone who watches the news, you know
I watch
guy
the news. I don't know.
Well, I watch the news, but I don't know how far the fire is from Qualcomm Stadium.
Yeah, I don't know how far. It is.
I'm an intelligent man, but I can't speak intelligently.
I don't watch the news, Fred.
Fred, of course you do.
I don't
Fred,
either.
You
read the
Wall Street Journal,
well,
Fred. You're a learned man.
Today in the locker room, Junior say, you know, his home in the offseason is in Oceanside, which is sort of a suburb of San Diego, and he was concerned. He kept calling home. And they're close enough to Oceanside, which is not that far from San Diego. And I believe LaDainian Tomlinson was told to evacuate his house. So
a lot of the Chargers were.
A lot of the Chargers were. So that, I mean, close enough that it's a problem. I don't know how close in terms of mileage to the stadium, but it's affecting their livelihood.
I'll go with the Chargers to win and cover. I think this is one of those you either say they're distracted and they can't, or you say it's their outlet and they blow the freaking Texans out of the water.
Speaking of that, Matt from Springfield says about LT, every time I hear this man's voice, I believe more and more he is slightly retarded. Tomlinson said, quote, "Thank God every house around me burned, but mine didn't."
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
No, he didn't.
According to Matt in Springfield.
Maybe he had that special gel.
Are we sure it wasn't? Thank God.
I don't believe it.
I mean, every house around mine burned, but
that's
mine
one
didn't.
That's one of those.
That's one of those I'd like to see
and
the video.
I'm not saying I don't believe. Just let me make this clear. I'm not disbelieving the emailer. I'm disbelieving whatever the outlet was. I think that they misquoted the guy.
I want to see the tone and the way it all came together, because you break that up in different ways, it says a lot of different things.
If Wes Welker said it, they'd be like, well, it's Wes Welker.
No,
he's a racist.
All right.
He's a racist.
I'm going to take the Chargers to win and the Texans to cover.
When have we ever called Wes Welker a racist?
10 seems like a big number to me.
It is a big number, but they blow.
Houston to cover?
Yeah, Houston to cover.
Who's playing?
Yeah, you got to talk in the mic, Andy.
Didn't Schaub get hurt?
Yeah, they're not sure.
Yeah.
Didn't Fred used to give an injury report?
Fred used to actually put some
now
thought
he just
into
goes, Lions, period.
While,
he goes,
while he's goes, poking holes in cups.
Yeah, what's with that obsession you've got over there?
What?
What's with the obsession with the
I've always
cups?
Had a thing about styrofoam cups and taking pens or pencils and drawing in it.
Yeah, that's drawing? You're
you always had a thing that started last week?
Eric DeLake, you got a pick for this game?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the sentimental choice and go with the Chargers big time. They've been playing well the last few weeks. I think that's going to continue no matter who the Houston quarterback is.
It's a shock. He's taking the sentimental choice.
That's true.
God bless you,
that's
Andy.
True. Soft-sensitive creative types like to do that.
I really agree with Andy on this game. I think you could go either way with San Diego. They're either distracted or they focus all that much better because of the situation they're in. I think they got a little something going here. We talked about this a few weeks ago. Too much talent in that on that team. They, at some point, they had to put it together. I think they're starting to. And I just don't, you know, I think Houston's overmatched in this game. I'll lay the points.
I'll take San Diego and Houston to cover.
Period. Both of them to cover? Because that's like LaDainian Tomlinson's, depending on how I write that quote.
All right.
I'll take San Diego and Houston to
Jacksonville
cover.
Jacksonville coming off a dismal effort Monday night and playing without Garrard, which, you know, you could look at any way you want. They travel to
Tampa
Bay.
Well, now that
I've
seen that other guy play, I'll look at it as it's a bad thing for them. Because he stinks.
They travel to Tampa Bay, where the Bucs are favored by 4.
I'll take the Bucs to win by more than 4, also known as cover. I think what's his name? Gray?
Quinn Gray.
Quinn Gray is not good. He that one pass where he had the guy wide open and he underthrew it, it got picked, and he was like had his hands on his head. I just throw the ball. Just throw the ball. I don't know what you were doing. Just throw the ball. If you can't complete that pass, you're not an NFL quarterback. And he's not an NFL quarterback, so they lose.
I completely disagree with Andy. I'm with the Jags big here. And Gus Johnson, told me that Quinn Gray can play, and Gus Johnson doesn't get excited about just anything, all right? Last year in the season finale against the Chiefs, he came in, and Gus Johnson said, Quinn Gray's come off the bench, and he's throwing bullets. So I'm going with Gus Johnson. I'm going with Quinn Gray. I'm going with Jackson.
You lose.
Oh, God. How am I going to follow that? Good
you'll
job,
just steal what
well,
he
you'll
says,
just reword it. Yes, Gus Johnson told me.
And then you'll take the sensitive type.
Quinn Gray is backing up Byron Leftwich, and he's throwing it all over the place.
Oh, I'm sorry. You
no, really,
there,
make
Tom.
A pick.
I know. I picked the Jaguars for the paper, so I'm going to stick with them. I don't feel comfortable with it, but I'm going to stick with them.
Yeah, I like Jacksonville big in this game, too. I think they bounce back after a bad performance. I don't think Gray is that bad. He has played in the past and played better than he looked Monday night. And I fall back on Tom, we always do it, the AFC-NFC
yep.
thing. A decent AFC team is going to go to and generally beat a what I think are all middle-of-the-road NFC teams, and I'll go with that. Tampa Bay beat Tennessee a couple of weeks ago, but I think if Vince Young didn't get hurt in that game, it would have been different.
Yeah, I got to go with Jacksonville, too, because we all know that their defense is Del Rio.
Okay.
Yeah, I think their defense is
Del Rio.
Del Rio.
one of Gary's best edits.
That's one of his best.
it's like one of the, you know, the really bad Photoshop when you look at it, you're
right.
Like, that's great. That's what that edit is.
I think he tried.
No, he didn't.
Uh-oh, here it comes.
There was only two examples of having some their defenses and a Del Rio.
Right.
How far back I searched for him saying Del Rio. So many. And Michelle Murphy doing the Bill's quotes took forever.
It's true. Although the new people have some stuff they need to work on. Some of the football lingo is wrong in a lot of the transcripts.
Oh, you see the, yeah.
It was out at 1:30, though.
Yeah,
they
she's
are
trying.
Fast.
She's trying.
Of course, they also had, fortunately, that was unfortunately, when Bill said, unfortunately, Gibbs is back, and it wasn't unfortunately, it was fortunately. It's like two different words there. It's an important un.
Well, you could look at it different ways, though. You could say, unfortunately, he's
right.
back.
No,
like,
I
now
know.
We have to deal with this Hall of Fame coach.
Right.
I don't think it was like a derogatory
But on paper,
thing.
It also looks different than when the way he says it. So you got verbal versus written, and then unfortunately versus fortunately.
And the multiple, I think, was wrong a couple of times on Monday. The word was supposed to be multiple, and...
And Icky Woods was Icky Woods when...
That was you.
No, that
no,
was the transcript.
Really?
Yeah. I showed it to Andy yesterday. I said they made the same mistake. Apparently it's supposed to be Iggy Woods.
There's also
there
an Iggy Woods?
I don't know who that is.
Because according to Hall of Fame offensive lineman John Hanna, he said there was an Iggy Woods.
So we'll have to Google that when we go upstairs.
I
just thought
is.
It was Hickey instead of Icky. But...
Icky.
All right.
Do we have any more games?
Let's go.
Yeah, New Orleans travels to San Francisco in a game no one cares about where the Niners are getting three at home.
I'll take New Orleans on the road.
All right. See, Alex Smith coming back. San Fran big.
Didn't know Alex Smith was back.
Got to put that.
I thought he was out for the year.
No, I just saw on ESPN when we were talking. They said Alex Smith to start this Sunday.
Huh. The Undertaker on, Perillo right. over there.
Well,
according to ESPN,
the other one, the David Carr thing, is in Sports Illustrated, and I'll show it to you upstairs.
Well, according to ESPN News, Alex Smith is starting. So based on that information, I'll take the Niners.
I don't care who's starting for the Niners. Saints on the road.
Whoa.
It's Sheriff.
No respect.
No.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Saints, too. Poor man's Chargers situation. I don't think they're anywhere near as good as San Diego, but I think they've found a way to win some of these games, and I think they're going to get some confidence back. And they'll find a way to get this one as well.
I got to go with San Francisco in this game.
Why? You do?
Can
Why?
You at least give
you know you
something like
even Fred Kirsch, like, I'm taking the Saints because I want the Niners to lose all their games so we get a high pick. I'm Fred Kirsch. Woo!
No, I got to go with San Francisco. I mean, I had them chosen early as, you know, my team to come out of the NFC.
I'll get back to my World Series thing.
Frank Gore has not had that great a year. I think he has a breakout game this.
All right, just for the record, Fred, I like it better when you just say I'm taking San Francisco.
San Francisco.
Green Bay, Andy. Last game, Green Bay at Denver. Denver by three.
I'll take Denver. I like my team. They're turning it around a little bit. Big win over my other team, the Steelers. They run the ball on the superior Packers defense. And AFC, NFC.
Well, I'll take Denver at home. Who cares? It's the AFC. I hear snow. Lots of snow.
Ooh, snow. I like snow.
I just made that up. But Packers, Broncos, there should be snow.
Is that a night game?
Monday night, isn't it?
Monday night. Monday
oh,
night.
I can watch that. Oh, it's a World Series?
Yeah. You could watch the first 2 minutes.
Well, maybe.
Hey.
Denver still
snow in HD, Tom. Thumbs up.
Denver's still not as good a team as I thought they were going to be, but the Packers are even more of a fraud, so I'm going to go with Denver at home.
Yeah, I'm going to take Denver, too, even though I think Denver stinks. But I think nothing of the NFC, and I'm going to go with the home team, especially with the AFC-NFC theory.
Yeah, the end is coming for the Packers. They've had their little run this year. So I'm going to go with the Bronx.
All right. That wraps us up. Washington at New England, Andy. 16.5 big ones.
I will take the New England Patriots to win, and I will take the New England Patriots to cover until someone, even a talented defense, like the Redskins, proves to me they can hold them under 17 points. Differential, obviously. So I just think they're the better team, and I think the defense at some point runs out of gas for the Redskins because their offense is terrible.
Yep, can go against the Patriots since they play a close game, I guess. So hate laying 17 in the NFL. If you're going to do it with the Patriots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm in agreement.
Even Joe Gibbs agrees with us. He's telling us lay the points.
Yeah, we talked about it earlier in the show, Fred. I don't see Washington possessing enough offense to help out the defense, even if the defense comes in and plays well. And probably won't play as well as they have anyway because the Patriots' offense is just that good. I see them covering again.
Well, I think that I do respect Washington's defense, and I think that the Patriots won't run it up. So I think that the Patriots win but don't cover.
Wow.
Wow, a close one. You're worried.
All right, last call. John in Rhode Island. John, how you doing?
Excellent, Freddie. How are you?
Oh, this is the John in Rhode Island.
Did you really?
Is there any other? Come on.
No, usually when he does you, he puts up the sign that says John in his mother's basement. So, how you doing, John?
We're good. We're in good shape today. I actually have to admit, I've been kind of amused today, only because I've done a little bit of kicking around on the Redskins website.
Yep.
And they're the only other team that I know of that does, you know, live radio programming in the NFL like we do.
Is that right?
Yes, they do. They do a one-hour show, but it's also simulcast, I think, on the AM, you know, whatever they call XXX ESPN radio.
Yeah, Snyder has his own.
Dallas does it, too.
That's what we need.
Right.
Oh, Dallas does it, too, I'm told.
But, Fred, they also have live Redskins chat on the website. Did you know that?
With a player?
No, just with fans.
Oh, we have that.
Do we?
Sure. We have a live chat room and bulletin board.
Okay.
But we have a chat room that's very active.
Okay, well, good, because I hadn't seen it yet.
I don't think it is.
Go into the fan zone and go into interact. And
oh, so in other words, you got to go through 16 layers to find it.
Like everything else on Patriots.com, yes, indeed.
Even this guy's making fun of me?
No, I'm just saying that it's on their homepage, and so I've been actually reading their fans. There are currently 27 of them in their room chatting away this afternoon, and they are absolutely, completely bonkers. They're nuts.
Yeah.
Well, John, to defend you.
That's the problem with putting it on your homepage.
No, but that's the thing. See, other teams are doing different things with the website, and Fred doesn't want to look and move to the future. He's kind of like he made fun of Paul. He's stuck in the past. Trust me.
Okay.
The Redskins and Cowboys site; those are the future
I'm
websites.
I'm not involved in this.
They don't put anything on the front page.
And I'm not saying
on the front page.
No, I'm not saying this necessarily be critical. It's just that obviously I found it a hell of a lot easier than I found our chat site. So that's why I was wondering. That's all. I just wanted to make that comment. The Redskins fans are completely and totally delusional. There's not one. I mean, I'm sure they look at us like we're delusional, so that really probably goes without saying.
I was going to ask you, what are the things that make you say that they're delusional? I mean,
they've got people predicting the final score. They've got people predicting the final score is 24-14 Redskins.
Well, if you know, in their defense, and if frankly, they're going to win, they're going to have to do something like that.
Well, I frankly believe, though, that hell will freeze over before the Patriots are held to 14 points.
Right.
Okay.
You know?
Wow. Gary, no mercy. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW Progress. We'll see you tomorrow, Felger.